It's The Huddle. Powered in part by Buffalo Wild Wings, Burlington and Plattsburgh. Wings, beer, sports. And by Able Paint, Glass and Flooring. If you need it, they've got it. They're Able. AbleVT.com. And by Reuben James, Main Street, Burlington. Online at RJSBurlington.com. The Huddle is now on 101.3 The Game. 101.3TheGame.com. And streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, all accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Wow, listen to you. The dogs just go screaming out the door.
It's good to see you guys. I'm watching you on Twitch.
Oh, see, that's not fair, although it's not like I want to see you, but yeah.
And we've posted a lovely picture of you to compliment our Twitch screen.
I see that. I got to tell you, this is awesome.
Yeah, because you're at home.
Yeah, you're on your couch in your underwear.
I get to spy on you guys. I got the Town Fair Tire text line in front of me, so I get to see all the texts coming in. I've got a little food next to me. I see Rich waving. I even brought all the comforts of the studio here. Watch this. You'll love this, Brady. Watch this. Hey, Rich, what was that town that had seven people in a Buell's Gore or whatever?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, I brought the geography bell, too, and the L.A. bell.
It sounds like something off your Christmas tree.
Yeah, well, look, we got to improvise. It's tough times now.
Why would Arnie have a Christmas tree? He doesn't celebrate Christmas.
That's a good point. I was like, he seems like the kind of person who would leave his lights on all year.
There are people, because yes, it snowed yesterday, people were bringing their Christmas lights back out.
You know what? I was driving home yesterday, driving in this morning, and I thought, this is beautiful. It looked we had like 6 inches of snow. It was beautiful.
It was more than they anticipated. Arnie, how much did you get out there at the Williston Chateau?
We got a lot. It was like at least four inches. I don't know if it was as much as the rest of Vermont got, but it was coming out at one point. It was like almost white out by the time you guys got off the air. It was coming down full steam, man. It really was.
Yeah, he called me and he said, I was concerned about the snow. Are you able to get home okay? I was like, what? Arnie wants to know if I got home okay?
He's just bored without seeing us in person.
Is this the new you? You call me every day to see how I'm doing, checking in?
Look, this is the way I live my life anyway. I'm usually behind closed doors. I always self-isolate whole life anyway. So this is what I'm used to for crying out loud. And by the way, I've lost 9 pounds since self-isolation. Can you believe that?
Why? Well, I would think you'd gain 9 pounds.
I know.
See,
I know.
I'm going through the same thing, actually. And I love going to Orange Theory. That obviously helps keep me stronger. Yes. But in terms of actual weight, I'm doing the Orange Theory home workouts. I'm doing them on my laptop. So they're like a half hour, 40 minutes. But I'm so food rationing that I'm not eating like I normally want to. Usually, like, I'll get full and I'll keep snacking. No, now I'm like, I'm barely getting full and then stopping for hours on because I just don't want to eat my entire food pantry in one day.
I don't get to make those stops at the Simons. So I don't get to have my two packs of Chuckles, and I don't get to bring in what usually Raisinets or
the usual.
Yeah, the usual stuff. Yeah. And then of course I get like a Yoo-hoo or some soda or something. I don't get to go to the market to eat like the 5,000 calorie salad.
Right.
That I usually have. I get none of that.
At least you could say you had a salad for lunch. It sounds good on paper.
Yeah, exactly.
So how is the lovely bride holding up through all this of having to put up with you in the house for 24 hours?
And how's your back?
My back is fine. My back is good. And you know what's great? First of all, I'll be happy when things get back to normal so I can go around coughing in front of people. You know what I mean? Because I'm a cougher anyway. Rich is a cougher.
We both are.
If we cough, we're like, look, I'm afraid they're going to throw me in jail. So you don't even have to hear me cough. I could just turn down my mic and I could cough away till my heart's desire. So, and by the way, I did this on my national show. I know there's a lot of people out there. It's going to be, things will get better. I promise. The stock market's turning around. And if you're lonely, you need any help, you just want to say hi, you're just feeling overwhelmed out there, you know the Town Fair Tire text line, always open. 802-655-6672.
Are we qualified to give self-help? Are we qualified to be there for people in times of these needs?
Oh, absolutely. I got to tell you, my wife just dropped off a whole bunch of food at the food bank, and they were going out to senior places, and they were making 50 stops, 50 packages, and they didn't have any toilet paper. So we gave them a 40-pack of toilet paper, so we're still 10 short.
Where did you get a 40-pack from?
That's suspicious.
Well, no, we buy in bulk anyway, so before this whole thing started, we don't need the 40-pack, so... we donated that also. Yeah, absolutely. We could be there for people. Wow. So, yeah, Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Hey, if you're you're an emergency, let us know. We'll get you help, man. That's what we're here for. We want to help everybody out there. And look, I know a lot of people do feel overwhelmed. And we all feel overwhelmed at times. So, look, at least we're here able to still do the show, whether they're in Colchester and I'm in Williston. You know, I don't care if I had to pick up a bullhorn and yell into a telephone.
You don't need
one. to get on the air. It's just good that you guys could be able to hear us out there and we'll be able to help.
Have you ever heard him more energized than he is in the last 5 minutes?
It's actually kind of disgusting.
It is. Yeah. You sound like you're ready to run the VCM.
But don't act like we're not getting something from this, too. We don't have to look at him wear the same sweatshirt every day now.
That's true.
I've been rotating them, though. I'm up to like 5 sweatshirts
in 6 months.
Yeah, in 6 months, so... I'll have a new wardrobe when we're ready to go. All right, lots to get to. It's a busy show. 802-655-6672. Brady, what do you got going on?
Well, we're live on Twitch, twitch.tv/1013thegame. At least Rich and I are here, and our picture of Arnie is here.
Yes.
He's here with us in spirit. You're watching us on Twitch right now?
I am watching. I've got a 6-second delay. Rich is shaking his head back and forth. And, you know, you both have black shirts on. Rich has the 101 shirt on.
I'm actually wearing green. But, Rich, bottom line is we shouldn't give Arnie the finger or anything because he can see us.
So. I've been giving you guys the finger out. It's so funny. That's what I've been doing to you guys.
Somebody caught me picking my nose during a commercial break the other day.
That's disgusting.
That was a little bit embarrassing. Sometimes I forget that camera's on.
We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/1013. Game. Give us a like, give us a follow. You'll get a notification every single time that we go live every single day from 3 to 6. We're starting off a new weekly segment. It's called Behind the Scenes, Rich. Behind the Scenes Tuesday. And I'm very excited for this. So every Tuesday at 3:25, we're going to highlight somebody who's in our local sports community who helps make our games go. But they're not a player. They're not a coach. They're somebody behind the scenes. And today, we're going to talk with Austin Dunham, who's the assistant equipment manager at UVM.
Oh, that's a thankless job.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? He's a cool guy. He's a former bullpen catcher at the University of Oregon.
Oh my God. Wow. Really? Well, I can tell you there's nothing more thankless than the equipment manager. I'm basing that on my summer with the Connecticut Tigers. Oh my gosh, what a job. It's 24 hours a day.
Well, he's going to join us at 3:25. Former Steelers defensive back, 2-time Super Bowl champion Ike Taylor is going to join us at 4:25, and then Tom Carrot of Nesson at 5:00. But first, we all watched it. We all watched it practicing social distancing, and I'm sure we were all crying in our separate rooms that we were at. Tom Brady introduced today as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was about a 40-minute long video press conference in which they did it audio streaming only. So they put it on video, but there was nothing but phone calls coming through. Tom Brady officially a Buccaneer, Rich.
Yeah, it's like the biggest news conference sports-wise for an individual in a long time. And how has this world changed over the last month or so where you have a conference call that they're streaming to announce this huge signing? And I'll tell you, it's not. I listened to the whole thing, and it's 32 minutes I can't have back, and I really wish I could because you talk about just saying absolutely nothing for a half an hour.
I got to tell you, I was disappointed also. It wasn't what I expected. First, I must have misunderstood because, Brad, you even said it again. You said video conferencing. I was expecting to see Tom's lovely face and, you know, him waving to the crowd. He sounded like all business. There was no smiling. Well, I didn't feel there was any smiling. It was very monotone. I don't know what I was expecting. I expected more of a parade-type atmosphere, and it felt a lot more somber. So I do like the way they cut in, and as they were mentioning the names and where they're from, say, hey, we know that guy. We know that guy. And
yeah, everybody,
yeah. But it was all very polite, done very nicely, but it wasn't what I expected. I thought we were going to get more interaction with him On video.
Well, they did. So they put the video out on Tampa Bay, on the Buccaneers website. They put it out on the Buccaneers YouTube channel. So they had a streaming component, but it was all audio. And you know what? I think that's appropriate. Given the times that we're in, I think it's appropriate to not make it this giant celebration where, you know, people are dying in the real world. And number one, it's dangerous to get all of these people in one big room together. But then even as far as could we get everybody on video talking to each other? One, logistically, I don't know how hard that is, especially for the reporters that were looped in. But three, or two rather, I just do think it would be a little bit tasteless to go and make something so happy at a time like this.
Well, and yeah, and it was obviously very downplayed, but there was none of that. And they tried, especially the Boston folks, they had one question from the Globe, the final one from the Herald reporter, and they were trying to pry something out of him about his relationship with Belichick at the end, about his conversations with Kraft and Belichick at the end. He was completely focused the entire time on what's coming up, what's new. He said the word Bucks once. He said the word Patriots once.
He said
in 32 minutes.
He said get up to speed 7 times.
Yeah, and the usual stuff: challenges, opportunity. I love playing football every day. The classic Brady stuff.
You know, I was surprised, and maybe you guys knew this. I didn't know that when he had the meeting with Kraft. I didn't know that Belichick was also on the line. Like those two guys were calling him, and. You know, it was like a three-way conversation.
I think it was a little bit different, though. And I think the way I understood that was, and that part interested me also.
Yeah.
So Brady goes to Kraft's house the night before the announcement gets made, which would have been last Monday. And then they talked to Belichick. So it sounds like he spoke to Kraft, informed him of his intentions, and then they called Belichick to say, hey, this is what's happening. It didn't feel like it was Tom went there knowing, hey, it's 2-on-1 right now.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I might have misspoke on that. Yeah, I was just surprised that the two of them called Bill. So the three of them did talk, and I guess they were all on the same page. I was, you know, I'm wondering what's Bill going through Bill's mind going, oh, blank, what have I done? I was waiting. If I was in that situation, I was Bill Belichick or Robert Kraft, wouldn't you have said, is there anything I can do? One more try? Maybe they did. Can we do anything for you, Tom? Can we make this work? But I guess it was too little too late by then, Brady. Everything was passed by then.
Yeah, well, it certainly did. And Brady went over there with the intention of telling Kraft, I'm out. And part of me had just assumed all along that Brady went over there with one last ditch effort from Kraft. Maybe it could have been enough, but it feels like no matter what Kraft did at that point, whether it was money, whether it was guaranteed money, whether it was control of X, Y, or Z, it doesn't feel like anything Kraft did last Monday night would have been enough.
Tom Fair, Tire Text on if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Were you surprised like I was? It was kind of done in an orderly fashion. I kind of missed the old ways. I know we have to do it video conferencing, but I missed the old ways where everybody's kind of jumping in, yelling at each other, trying to go ahead and get a question in. And I think we would have gotten better answers from Tom if he was face-to-face with the reporters.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think so.
See, I'm kind of heading in the other direction on that, Arnie, because I feel like he could... It took the pressure off. He didn't have to be looking at anybody. I mean, he did acknowledge a couple of the questioners and saying... In fact, the Herald woman, I heard her name was Karen.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to miss you. And she said, I'm going to miss you too. But that was the only back and forth interaction I noticed in the entire press conference.
Yeah, I thought that, number one, I don't like the feeling of a press conference. As much as I enjoy interviewing, I hate the idea of everyone raising their hand and then having to fight with each other and step on each other for the microphone and all that. I actually liked the way this was done. But I was disappointed in the line of questioning. And this feels like it's going to be what Tom Brady's going to get used to in Tampa now, where it's not going to be. Like, he's going to feel such a sense of relief, I think, just from the lack of media pressuring that he's going to get down in Tampa. Now, there's still going to be, from a national focus, people's focusing on Tom Brady. And there's going to be more people in Tampa than there have ever been. But the actual Tampa media are going to be far easier on him than the Boston, New England market ever was.
He just went out so classy. I got to tell you, I don't know if I could be like him.
I know if you could be like him.
Yeah. I don't think I could keep my mouth shut. After what been there 20 years, I think I would have said to the media, hey, they didn't want me. I'm moving on. And then, of course, that would have stirred it up, and they would have blamed Belichick and Kraft. And I love that Kraft put the full page goodbye to Tom in the Tampa paper.
And all the billboards and stuff.
Yeah, you know, that's I would love to get the inside. damn, do I wish I was in Kraft's house when him and Brady were talking. Would have loved to see what was really, really being said back and forth between those two guys.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because of his ability, Tom Brady's ability to just keep it all inside. I agree with you, man. He must have been just bursting, and he had so many opportunities with the Globe and the Herald people today. Most of those softball questions, but when it came to the Boston reporters, it was a little bit more pit bullish. They wanted some information about what happened. All he wanted to do was spin everything forward.
You know, I'm happy that he didn't take any shots, though. I have this picture of Tom Brady, and I, Deflategate controversy aside, I understand there's some things about Tom Brady that aren't perfect, but I have this relatively perfect image of him, and I think of him as being very classy. I'm glad that he didn't stoop down to the level maybe that some people wanted him to stoop down to. I'm glad he did it this way. I'm glad that in 5 years' time, he'll be welcomed back in Foxborough with no hard feelings to get his red jacket as a member of the Patriots Hall of Fame. And I'm glad that one day when he's making his actual Hall of Fame speech, that we will have the true animosity of him and Belichick will not have been put out in the public, and it will remain private. I'm happy that we didn't see that.
I don't expect this during this. Once the season starts, I don't expect it to be. I think it's gloves off is what I'm saying when the season starts. I don't think it's going to be so polite. I think you have to pick a side. If you're not a Patriots fan, and you're just another team like you and I, Brady, you're Seattle, I like the Giants and Dolphins, you got to pick a side. Are you on Team Brady or Team Belichick? And which side are you rooting for? Because I'll be honest, I'm rooting for Team Brady. Nothing against Patriot fans, and I do respect Belichick, but I want Belichick to fail, and I want Brady to succeed because I want everybody to know it was Brady that got him the Super Bowls, not all the credit that Belichick's getting. I'm picking a side. I'm on Team Brady.
Yeah, I'm not picking a side, though. See, I'm rooting for Brady in the short term. I want to see Brady do well. I want to see him conquer new challenges. I want to see him do something that no one's ever done and play quarterback at a high level till 45. But I've used this analogy before, and I'm going to use it again here. I want the Chris Sale, Yoan Moncada trade scenario where the Red Sox won in the short term, and then the White Sox are going to ultimately win in the long term. I want Brady to do well now. I'm rooting for the Bucs to win the NFC South and get to the playoffs. But, Rich, I'm also rooting for the Patriots to take their lumps this year, take their growing pains, and come out the other side with all those draft picks and a chance to get younger and some salary relief and do well in the future, Rich.
As the lifer in the group here, I can't possibly. No, I can't possibly. I know that's a shocking revelation on my part, but I hope they go 16-0 next year. I know they're not going to. I'm fully prepared for a 6-10, 7-9, hopefully 8-8 kind of a season. But you're right, and I know we'll talk about it later, but Colin Cowherd had some interesting ideas on his show today about what the Patriots are doing, and he thinks Belichick is just being his usual smart self.
You know, go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say, when he said Belichick, Belichick always thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. I've always said sooner or later we'll come back and bite him in the backside, Brady. This is the year we'll find out. I can't wait to see the first Patriots game. I can't wait to see the first Tampa game. How crazy is this? I'm more excited to see a Tampa game and a Patriot game than I am my own team.
Well, I'm very excited.
That's understandable.
I'm excited to see the Bucs play also, and they're certainly going to get. I wouldn't be shocked, by the way, if you start seeing some. So every week I go to 506sports.com and I look at the television map. I would not be shocked to see Bucs games appearing in the New England region now. And that happens all the time where people who have ties to certain areas, they play games like Oklahoma's getting a lot of Cleveland games. Why? Well, because Baker Mayfield is the quarterback. So I wouldn't be shocked to be seeing Tampa games up in our area. Brady was asked if he was disappointed in the Patriots and their lack of effort to bring him back today.
No, I have a great deal of respect for, there's nobody who's been a bigger fan than the Patriots than me. So I have nothing but total respect and love, and I'm so grateful to Mr. Kraft and the organization and Coach Belichick and all the coaches and obviously all my teammates. It's been a lot of days responding to a lot of incredible text messages from my teammates, from former teammates, from just a lot of the great people I've got to meet over the years, and I have so many great relationships that will be maintained. And, that's, I think, the greatest gift that football has brought me is the relationships that I've had with so many of the people I've worked with. So it'll be certainly different, but at the same time, that's the way life can be at times.
So there again, Brady had a chance. He had a chance to eviscerate the Patriots if he wanted to, Rich, and he didn't take it.
And honestly, I disagree with Arnie saying that that's going to change as the season goes along. I think he is going to be exactly in week 10 what you just heard in week 0.
I do, too. I'm with you. I'm with him, Arnie.
No, no, he's not going to be that stoic. There's, you can't be. Yeah. Matter of fact, I was picturing this after the first game. Brady's, let's say, 1-0. He has a great game in Tampa's first game. Throws like 4 touchdowns, no picks. And someone says, "How you feeling?" I bet you he goes, "I'm feeling blank and great, and a little emotion, and you know, just you know, sooner or later, you know, it comes out. It will just either accidentally or you wanted to." But he'll say something bad against the Patriots or Belichick. He'll say, "I'm having fun for the first time in 20 years. And we'll go, "Oh, what did he mean by that? What did he mean?" And we all know what he means by that. I promise you, he is going to say something like that, Brady.
The only thing I think we're going to get out of Brady is if they get to the playoffs. Remember a couple of years ago when he finally was off, I think it was with Tracy Wolfson of CBS, and when they were going to play the Chiefs. So they just beat the Chargers, and he goes, "I know everybody thinks that we suck, but we got something left." He'll throw a little jab like that in at the end of the year if they're in the playoffs. And, you know, if we're looking at it where the Patriots aren't in the playoffs and Tampa is, and he'll say, "You know, I got a lot of former teammates sitting at home, but it feels pretty good to be in the position we're in now." I can see him doing that come playoff time.
I can't even see that.
No, but trust me, he will. Matter of fact, I just want to read Elliot in Burlington said, Arnie's looking for animosity that there isn't. I think Belichick just felt hamstrung by an older, slower quarterback. Both parties are going to be better for it. I know Tampa's going to be better for it. I don't think the Patriots are going to be better this year for it. And no, there is animosity because after 20 years, if you don't think being forced out of your job where you've not only accomplished so much, you've been the best quarterback of all time, if you have no animosity in you, there's something wrong with you then. You are the coolest person on the face of the earth if you have no animosity being forced out the door after 20 years and 9 Super Bowl appearances. You're a better person than everybody I know.
Well, how many times over the last 20 years, Arnie, have we said, "Well, Belichick is just, he's so cutthroat, he'll drop anybody," you know, Richard Seymour and Mike Vrabel and all. I mean, the list is a mile long of the people that he had an association with, obviously, and just cut ruthlessly at the height of their career in some cases, or even a year before the downfall. But we always said for all these years, well, that won't happen with Tom Brady because Tom Brady is different. He is the franchise.
And it did. And it did. And you know who knew it? Tom's father knew it. He knew it. He knew it a long. He told us a long time ago, and we were just like, come on. He's going to be a Patriot for life. If you would have made me bet 5 years ago, I would have bet my left hand that he would have stayed the Patriots until he retires. You'd be calling me righty right now because I would have no left hand. That I would never have thought this would have happened 5 years ago. This year, you know, you saw the writing on the wall, guys.
We'd be calling you righty right now.
Yeah. I should have said I'll cut my right hand off. You call me lefty.
How much coffee have you had today? Just out of curiosity.
You sound different at home.
You do. You sound completely wound up.
Well, that's because I'm surrounded by the dogs and my wife and my kid.
And you're in your slippers.
I'm in my slippers. I'm not wearing a shirt. You know, the usual.
You already tweeted a picture of yourself. We know you're wearing a UVM shirt. But you're not
wearing. I took it off.
You're not wearing a snow hat today, which you're usually wearing for us.
In the middle of summer. By the way, Anthony in Essex Junction, this just in. He has been day drinking, apparently. He says, "Arnie, I have missed you desperately. Welcome back."
Well, thank you, Anthony. Wow. And like I said, we went with Eddie. If you just want to check in on the Town Fair Tire text line, say hello. I'm surprised we haven't had a lot of comments about Tom Brady. Maybe it's just people are past it and the press conference really didn't do much. 802-655-6672. You think people in New England are past it, or today brought up a little extra hatred in it?
No, I think people are. I don't think people are past it, but I think people are just so wrapped up in, is my state going to shut down completely?
Yes.
Am I going to be able to go to work tomorrow?
Right.
I think people. I mean, I think the coronavirus has been a distraction from Tom Brady and the way that Tom Brady has been a distraction from the coronavirus. So when you want to get away from one, there's always the other to go to.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about that. So, like I said, we are here for you. We will always be here for you. And I'm glad we can get on the air. Even if we sound clunky and we start talking over each other, that's really no different than when I'm in studio anyway.
When would that happen?
802-655-6672. Brady, what do you want to go ahead and get to
next? Well, we got our first installment of Behind the Scenes Tuesday. The people who make the games that we love go that never get the proper credit. Austin Dunham, the assistant equipment director at UVM. He's going to join us next.
All right. Looking forward to that. That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
He's been here forever.
Call me old-fashioned, but I miss conversation.
He's one of you.
Once I got the, what's it called, iPhone?
Yeah.
This thing right here.
Yeah, that that's one. That's an iPhone.
It's Rich Haskell.
I'm no spring chicken here.
On The Huddle.
This is a sports town. Man, I had no idea.
On 101.3 The Game.
Welcome back here in The Huddle right here on 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. You know, as much as we miss sports, it's given us a chance to come up with a lot of cool ideas and a lot of chances to give you guys some exposure to some people you might not have had the opportunity to get exposure to otherwise. And one of those people is Austin Dunham. He is the assistant equipment director at the University of Vermont. It's part of, he's starting off what we're calling Behind the Scenes Tuesday. So highlighting some of the people who help make our games go on when they're actually going on. So, Austin, man, we appreciate you being with us. The first one, Behind the Scenes Tuesday. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I appreciate it. Kind of tell the audience, as assistant equipment director at UVM, kind of overarchingly, what your job description is.
Oh, my job description covers a lot of ranges. First and foremost, laundry is pretty important. We do all the student-athletes' laundry day in and day out. After practice, we'll take it, throw it in the washer, put it in the dryer, and then put it back in their stall for the next day, and they're good to go. Second is ordering all the gear. So for hockey example, I take care of the skates, order the sticks, all the pants, the gloves, the helmets. With our men's guy, Luke Nestor, we both kind of go over it, kind of what we need, and we kind of split it 50-50. And the third one is just kind of repairing stuff. Obviously, this year was my first year with hockey, so there's a lot of sewing socks, jerseys. You got to fix helmets. Sometimes you got to repair skates. There's a lot that goes into it, and you just kind of have to be flexible. And it's a day-by-day thing. Each day is different. It brings a new task. And that's one of the things I love about it.
When some of the equipment malfunctions or breaks, how do you handle that as an equipment director? Do you order stuff in bulk at the beginning of the year and plan for that, or Anthony Lamb blows out a sneaker on a Tuesday night? Are you rush ordering him something new for Saturday night?
Usually we try to order in bulk. Some sports don't have the luxury of ordering in bulk. Some teams just order roster by roster. But for the basketball guys, we try to order them three shoes because some of those guys fly through shoes. Like Zion Williamson last year, when he blew through that shoe, he absolutely had backup shoes. And, you know, each guy has three sets of shoes. Some guys wear them just for practice. Some guys have a home and road set of shoes. And they just kind of go through them vary by vary. And it depends on how fast they go through them. But usually by the time they get down to that second or third pair, we might order them another pair just in case.
How many hockey sticks do guys get in the course of a season? Typically, how many do they go through?
I only work women's, and we only get six per, and usually I don't order anymore. So the women usually go through two or three a season, and then they take one or two home and have one left over. But some of the guys, fly through 20, 24 sticks a year. It's pretty crazy. They'll break two or three in a day of practice, and then they'll go out the next day and break another one. And so they start with 12 for the year, and as soon as they get down to that fourth or fifth one left, we order them a whole new set of 12.
What was the vibe like in the athletic department the day that you found out that spring sports are being canceled for the year, or at least the spring sport championships are being canceled for the year, and then that the winter season was going to end preemptively also? What was that vibe like in Patrick Gym and surrounding areas?
There's a lot of nerves that were going into it before that. Like when we had the semifinal game, people were kind of eerie about it. And then when we went to the championship game, we kind of had the feeling that there would be no fans in the stands.
Yeah.
And then I went to lunch with our other equipment guy, Matt Maynard, and we came back and they said, there's no more basketball game and there's no more lacrosse game this weekend. I was like, all right, well, we're just going to wait this out and lacrosse will keep going. And then they said, no more lacrosse. And that was kind of shock to the system that we were just going to be done for the year and headed towards summer hours. And it's really unfortunate because the kids worked their tails off all year and they earned the opportunity to play for a championship. Especially the basketball guys who had a shot to go to the tournament this year. And once they canceled that, it was really unfortunate for the guys. I felt bad for them.
Austin Dunham here from UVM, the athletic department. He's the assistant equipment director. He's here with us on Behind the Scenes Tuesday, first edition on 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. You hit on it when you first, when we first started the conversation. You said laundry is a big part of it. I think stereotypically, when I hear equipment at a college level, I think, okay, do the laundry, get it in the locker, have it ready, take it after the game. What do we, the public, not know about what goes into your job?
Well, for the home games, the most important thing is keeping those jerseys white. A lot of people think, oh, there's not that many sports that you guys have that get dirty. Believe it or not, sweat turns things yellow. So keeping those home jerseys white is extremely important, especially the lacrosse guys who are diving out on the turf and they wear their eye black and they rub it all over their jersey. Keeping those things white is extremely important, and that takes extra diligence. Sometimes you got to soak them a little bit. You got to rub them a little bit with treatment. And then you got to throw them on an extra long cycle just to get all that dirt and grime out of there.
What's the blood jersey policy like? And I don't mean to be grotesque, but guy dives on the floor, skins his knee, his basketball shorts are all bloodied up. What's the backup shorts procedure like in a case like that?
So each athletic trainer per sport is given at least one or two blood jerseys, just in case that scenario comes up. So say a guy gets blood on his shorts and there's no way to get it out right away, we'll just have him throw on the extra pair that we left either in the locker room or in the travel bag for the athletic trainers. And then they will take the bloody pair of either shorts, tops, whatever it is, and they'll throw it in a bag, and then they'll throw it in the laundry bin. And when we see it's in the bag, then we'll just take it out of the bag, put some gloves on, and then, believe it or not, if you just spray it with hydrogen peroxide, dab it a little bit, it'll come out. And then you just throw it through a normal cycle.
Not that I want to add more to your workload, but can we institute a policy where you are washing all of the hockey equipment next year? Because there is no worse smelling place in the world than a hockey locker room, Austin.
Believe it or not, a lot of my girls do wash their gear every day. I have one girl that wears or washes her shoulder pads and gloves and elbows every day, and most of them just throw their gear in at least once or twice a week. Our locker rooms at UVM actually don't smell that terrible. We have a nice ventilation system that kind of gets all that stuff out of there. But if, like, the men's club team or visiting teams come in without fans, the locker room is absolutely atrocious.
How do you wash an elbow pad?
You just throw it in on a normal cycle. Sometimes you have to throw it in with towels and put it on a hot water just to make sure that there's no staph infection and you get all that bacteria out of there.
So I'm learning laundry. This is not laundry 101. This is laundry, like, graduate level course here. Austin Dunham with us here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. What's the vibe in the athletic department like for you about the new buildings opening up, the new Tarrant Center and the refurbished Gutterson Fieldhouse? How does that change your job in a year and a half or so?
I mean, everybody's so excited. We can't wait to get there. It doesn't really change my job a whole lot. It just changes where we play the games and maybe the atmosphere a little bit. That's to be determined. We'll see, especially Gutterson. Hopefully we can get that place packed and get it rocking. But for me, it doesn't really change a whole lot. Still same day-to-day. There's a couple new locker rooms going in, but that doesn't really change what I do.
You know, you were a student manager at the University of Oregon for the baseball team, and you actually were the bullpen catcher for the Ducks baseball team as well, and saw a lot of high draft picks come through your building and on your team as well, and you helped me get ready for the Lake Monsters bullpen catching gig that I had last summer as well. And I can only imagine what it's like being an equipment person at the University of Oregon. I mean, how many different jerseys, helmet combinations do you have at Oregon?
For baseball, we had 7 different jerseys, 2 helmets, 3 pairs of cleats per guy, 2 pairs of turfs, a workout shoe. Each guy had 2 practice shirts, 1 pair of pants, potentially up to 6 or 7 different base layers, 2 jackets, a hot jacket, dugout pullover, 4 hats. It was pretty insane. It was the amount of gear that went into it, and some of those late nights on gear handouts were quite insane.
With all of those different components to your jersey and apparel, how many times did you go on the road somewhere and somebody's like, "Coach, I forgot my white jersey. Coach, I forgot my green socks." How often does that happen?
Usually like once a year.
That's it?
At Oregon, we packed all the jerseys and carried them. So we triple checked all the jerseys. We threw them in the individual bag. And we get to the hotel, we'd hang them up just to make sure we had them all. We didn't let the players carry any of their jerseys and stuff. But there would be a couple, "I forgot my belt. I forgot my sock." But usually before you get on the bus, you try and go through everybody's locker just to make sure that they didn't forget anything. Coach Horton was a big stickler on details, and if you forgot something, you might not find your way on the field that day if you don't look like you're part of the team.
College baseball game takes 3 hours plus. the getting ready for the college baseball game takes the other 21, it sounds like.
That's right. For home games, we were there 5 hours before the game started. You know, we had to set up BP, get team meal, come back in, take BP, take in and out. And then we played the game that took 3 hours, so you're already up to 8 hours. And then post-game, you took an hour to get out of the locker room. Then we take the jerseys over, scrub them, get them all cleaned up, make them look nice. That was an extra 2 hours. So, I mean, you're talking 11, 12-hour days there for one game.
Oh, my God. And there's, you know, weekend series, midweek doubleheaders. That's a fun job, but that's a tough job if you can get it.
It's so tough. But the amount of things that you learn and how much you learn in a work ethic standpoint, it really takes you far. It's not an office job or 9 to 5. You're definitely on the clock pretty much all hours of the day. Any phone call, you can be there in a minute. I remember there was a couple times where Coach Ullman, our assistant coach, would call me and ask if I'd come hit fungos for the infielders, and that, like, I'm not going to disagree to that. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Well, we'll get you out of here on this. Because you grew up in Oregon, you went to Oregon, I know you're good family friends with Adley Rutschman, who baseball fans will know at some point here in the next few years. He was the number one pick in the draft last year, played at Oregon State, your rival, but also then got drafted by the Baltimore Orioles. Is he throwing you any of his signing bonus as a friends and family bonus?
No. He has not thrown me any of his signing bonus, but he did get his mom a car, so that was awesome.
Well, that's great for her. What's he getting you?
Yeah. I don't need anything. I'll just keep working and working and working.
Well, then you'll get that. Maybe you'll get that money yourself someday. So, Austin Dunham.
God, I hope so.
Austin Dunham is the assistant equipment director, assistant equipment supervisor at the University of Vermont, the athletic department, behind the scenes Tuesday. Man, we appreciate it. And, summer hours started early, but make the best of it. And we look forward to seeing you behind the scenes again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. This was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Arnie, yeah. There is wow. Us, Austin Dunham.
Are you going to think I'm BSing you? I'm not. I'm like a laundry snob, so I was listening to what he was saying because I like to let the water fill up, then put in the Clorox, and then put in the white so it soaks in, because I love my stuff when they're nice and white and bright white, because I was listening to that part. I'm not kidding around, man.
You're a laundry snob?
Yes,
well,
yes.
Considering he goes through 4 shirts a day and takes 5 showers.
I do laundry. We do laundry every day. Every day, what? And I'm telling, especially with all the sweaty clothes I have from Orange Theory, and you have to go ahead and obviously separate the whites from the colors, but I always want to know how you get it really, really white. Now I know.
So, Austin, nice. Not only that, though, I mean, again, bullpen catcher, University of Oregon, good friends with the number one pick in the draft, Adley Rutschman. That's a pretty cool life for a young guy just coming to Burlington.
Adley Rutschman, who spent 3 nights at Centennial Field last year as a member of the Aberdeen Ironbirds, but I'll say it again. I said it at the outset of the show. If there is ever a 24/7 job in this world, it's equipment manager, and in his case, assistant equipment manager for sports.
I mean, he just said that just being the student manager at Oregon, this wasn't a full-time position. So getting to the game 5 hours early, my goodness.
Yeah.
And all the sticks. I didn't know that so many sticks had to be ordered for that, you know?
And Arnie, you could, I don't know how much you went into Shea's locker rooms, probably to scream at him for giving up.
Smell like hell.
I remember that was the one sport I didn't play in high school, but we all had the same locker room. And let me tell you, you could tell when there was a hockey game the night before.
It was horrible.
Absolutely rancid.
We would sanitize this stuff inside a lot of rinks. They have a sanitizer where you put in all the equipment in for it bakes it for an hour. So it doesn't smell so bad. It's the worst smell
ever. That's the thing. It's not like you can just throw your hockey gloves into the laundry.
You can, apparently.
I mean, you can, but it gets to the point where nothing is going to get that smell out.
I mean, the fact that he said that you can wash your elbow pads, that's where I was. Arnie, by the way, did you see the news on Twitter just now?
About Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah, Noah Syndergaard needs Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
So now
he's gone for the
Now when Arnie wants to make fun of Chris Sale, you can just throw it back right at him. Arnie.
I was actually gonna. Well, you know what's so funny is I was gonna just bring that up as I saw. I'm reading the Jeff Passan thing. I saw it a couple of minutes ago. He's gonna be out. Do you think that maybe more players are gonna take this year off if it's an 81 game season? Not to just have Tommy John, but let's say, I don't know, Judge type, where he has those lingering injuries.
Right.
Instead of playing 81 games or 60 games, do you just say, you know what, I got to shut it down this year, let me get healthy for next year? This year's already a debacle, or is that too crazy thinking?
Yes, that's crazy. Baseball players play.
Yeah.
And there you go. And that's the answer. Baseball players play.
And look, by the time the Yankee season starts, he's going to have had three months off, depressing as it may seem. So.
Right.
Yeah, no, he's going to be good there. So I don't think anybody's going to willingly take the year off. There's going to be some nasty battles when it comes to service time, et cetera, and free agency and all that. Well, I'd be interested in talking with Tom Caron about that. But Arnie, let's take a break and then let's get to They Said What.
All right. They Said What's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Whoa. What did he say? He really said that? It's They Said What?
What?
On the huddle.
What? Yeah. What?
On 101.3 The Game.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. All accounted for on a busy Tuesday, a beautiful Tuesday out there. A little snowy earlier yesterday, so a little was coming down like crazy.
Beautiful. So. No days can be beautiful anymore. We're not allowed to go outside. Every day that's nice weather is just a tease.
Yeah, I'm used to this. I'm used to staying, not this much, but I just stay home until 2 o'clock, come into the studio. And then at 6 o'clock, I come home. So, except for Monday, Wednesday. I wanted to tell you, Rich, I'll tell you next hour. I had something interesting to tell you about Clay Travis and his cornhole tournament he had. you'll love it. But, Brady, let's get to They Said What. What's going on?
They Said What?
Well, how about Colin Cowherd today? Colin Cowherd, every single day before us, noon until 3 again, right before us, says the Patriots remind him a lot of a certain team that Arnie loves. How about this one?
So, Tom Brady's gone in New England, but it should be noted. I said last week, I think what they're going to do is like Miami did last year. Create a culture, or in New England's case, maintain it. Not be very good at quarterback. And it's playing hard, playing to win, but losing. And knowing you're going to lose. So, the Patriots, Brady's gone, but it's a $23 million dead money hit. That is so on New England. They have no quarterback, bottom three or four teams in the league in weapons. I don't think their defense is going to be quite as good.
Look, I agree with a lot of what Colin said there, Rich.
Schedule.
And the schedule is really hard, but where I disagree with him is that I don't want to look just like Miami last year. Okay, I understand growing pains. If they go 8-8 because they're just not that talented, I can live with that as long as things are being done. Miami was getting beat 43-0, 56-10.
By the Patriots.
I don't want to look like that. If they lose 21-16, they lose 17-9, they lose 28-23, and they give up a late drive. Things that young, bad teams do. I can live with that to a degree. I don't want to get beat 56-0.
Right. It was funny because I remember during, what they go 0-7, 0-8? I mean, they were horrible. And they, as you said, they were getting outscored 40-0 in every game, including the Patriots. 43-0 loss at home, no less. No, I agree with you. But it was funny because I heard so many people, including Colin. In fact, he was the real... a ringleader of saying they don't look as bad as their record indicates. Well, you know what? As a Pats guy, I'd rather have them not be outscored 257-23 after six games.
Do you remember when the season started and they lost those first couple of games? I said, this could be the worst team in football history.
Yes.
Remember that? So, I mean, and obviously, let's give them credit. They weren't nearly as bad as we thought. They really turned the corner the second half of the season, but there's no way I would ever think that a Patriot team would be compared to the worst team that we suppose Miami overplayed last year. They're really even not that good. I can't see the Patriots that bad. I could never see the Patriots getting a top five draft pick after a season. I don't think they're that bad. And by the way, Tom Brady doesn't play defense, so their defense should keep him in some games, but I still think it's going to be a tough year.
Well, like their defense isn't going to be as good, and that's for sure. We know that. Van Noy gone, Collins gone, Harmon gone. They're getting older with the guys they do have. They need to hit on guys in the draft, so they're not going to be as good. The other thing that Collins said I disagree with is New England can be like Miami and maintain their culture. The Patriots aren't maintaining their culture if they're getting waxed like the Dolphins were last year. When the Dolphins were awful, they traded away everybody, they got really young, and they got guys that were hungry for opportunities. Those guys can take it on the chin if they have jobs and they know they have a future chance with the team. Guess who doesn't want to get beat 56-10? Dante Hightower, who's a 7-8-year veteran. That guy doesn't want to get beat 56-10. Julian Edelman doesn't want to get beat 42-3 on a Sunday night when he's playing with bummed ribs at 33 years old. That's a lot different than what Miami did.
Oh, look, you're right about that. And who else doesn't want to get beat 56-10? Bill Belichick. That guy, it would take years off his life if he was losing like that. He would not be able to handle that. It would be a horrible atmosphere to be a Patriots player and losing games like that, having to deal with a coach like Bill Belichick.
And I don't know what they mean by let's get the Dolphins culture into the place. The Dolphins have had one winning season. Yeah. One since 2008.
But what he's saying is that last year, Brian Flores comes in, year one of the regime, establishes the culture, gets guys to buy in, and everybody tries hard, and they all win one for the Gipper-type mentality, but they don't ultimately win in the end. The Patriots are a lot different. They're not in year one of this program. They might be at year one of phase two of their program, but a lot of their guys have been there for a long time. They're not going to want to take it on the chin like Miami was okay last year.
And how could Belichick want their attitude or their thing? He taught Flores, for crying out loud. So, I mean, what makes you think that he needs to get anything from them? I think it's going to go ahead and be extremely tough for the Patriots this year, especially with that schedule and the travel, Brady.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really, really difficult. It's absolutely a uphill battle for the Patriots next year. Now, if you're a Patriot fan and you're looking for silver linings, maybe your hope is that some of the teams that we thought were going to be really, really good next year that are on their schedule, maybe they won't be, because we had said all along, Rich, how about the Chargers? And the Chargers now all of a sudden don't look as daunting as they did. No Melvin Gordon, no Phillip Rivers. They don't look as good as they did when we first saw the schedule.
No, they've instantly gone from 11-5 to 5-11. It didn't take very long. Doug and Milton said, just so we're clear, the Pats, if they go into the season with Jared Stidham at quarterback, are looking at 5-11, not to mention some of those veterans you guys were just talking about might be cut for cap purposes.
I haven't even thought about that. So.
Some of them could be. I would be more interested in seeing if they're traded. A Dante Hightower, a Julian Edelman type, are they traded? And we're going to talk about that in hour three today. Should the Patriots trade Julian Edelman? I can't believe we're even thinking about it, Arnie.
Well, hour one in the books. Brady will tell you what's trending. We'll come back, get you ready for the top four and fourth show flying on by. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 the game.
Back to our take on stories of the day. Call in and give us yours at 802-655-6672. The huddle is on 101.3 the game.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 day game. All unaccounted for. Rich is here. Arnie's here. Brady's here. Of course, Rich and Brady in studio back in Colchester. I'm holding out the fort in Williston, and we're all together. So we hope everybody's safe out there. I know it's a tough time, but we're here for you. So it's good to be on the air and all together. You know what I mean, guys?
Do you feel like you're talking to 250 million people simply because you're doing your show from your house?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the same mind frame, the same mindset as that. It's amazing. It really is. 10 years ago, I don't think you could do this. I know K-Rock in Los Angeles. K-Rock.
Nice.
They had a guy that did it in Los Angeles and another guy that did it in Seattle, and they used to do different things as technology used to go along. They did that for a long time. Nowadays, man, I see everybody all over the country doing the radio shows in their attic now, in the basement. I see Good Morning America doing their TV show, from their home. So it's amazing how far we've come. I got to tell you this. Remember how we're always talking about how many people watch our games or my game at Williston Central School?
Yeah.
Clay Travis played cornhole with his son. And 75,000 people tuned in on a Sunday night to watch.
That's awesome. People just need something competitive to watch.
Yeah, it's a good time to be on TV.
No, 75,000 people watched him on like Facebook Live or Twitter or whatever it was. Imagine that. 75,000 people. And I tell you, we get like 2,000 within the first hour. People are starved for sport. What's the hardest part for you, Brady? I mean, you're teaching baseball. We can't go out to the gym. We can't watch anything. What's been the toughest part for you?
Yeah, the hardest part, I think, has just been the intrusion on everyday life. As much as I enjoy watching sports, and I love watching sports, we've still had a lot of sports to talk about, so it's felt kind of business as usual for me outside of just not having the tournament, the Celtics and the Bruins, to go back to. What bothers me is I can't give baseball lessons. The realization that I might not get to play men's league baseball this year will be the first year in 25 years I've never played baseball at a competitive level in any point in my life. I mean, that stuff's hard. Not being able to go to the gym, the intrusion on my everyday life, I think, is the most annoying part, Rich.
Yeah, for me, I'm doing as much as I can, getting out, going for runs, being on the bike path. And, you know, I'm not just completely just, you know, putting myself right in the, you know, and of course I gave up Uber. That just got a little too crazy for me. That got a little too close for comfort. So, that being said, I'll tell you what I miss the most. I miss going home at 6:15, 6:30, putting on the sweats and getting comfortable, and then not having a Bruins game or a Celtics game to watch.
You forget how important sports is in some of our lives. Until it gets taken away. It is so tough. I got some positive news when we heard Mark Cuban say he expected the NBA to come back in mid-May. And, of course, I'm going through my mind, okay, we can get this in and the playoffs. And, boy, it's going to be one heck of a summer if we're able to get some of the leagues back in here. You know what I mean? We're going to get a lot of sports. There'll be no dead time this summer, Brady.
Well, the ice got taken out at TD Garden today, so that can't be good for the Bruins.
That can't be
good for the idea of an NHL season.
No, I would think that's fairly permanent. They must know something we don't. I mean, I was thinking maybe, possibly. That's very expensive to put back in.
I really didn't like hearing a couple of weeks ago when the NHL said they were allowing their players to fly wherever in the world, and they were allowing their players to go home to wherever they wanted. And the NHL has a large international footprint, obviously, between Canada and Europe, but I would think if you were planning on these players coming back in May or early June, the last thing you want is guys flying to Finland, to Sweden, to Russia. I can't imagine that you want to start sending people over to Eastern Europe where this thing is still going, and then an idea to bring them back in a month and a half. That doesn't seem real easy.
But I can't imagine, because, I mean, don't you guys feel like I do, that there's positive news about the NBA? I still feel like there's going to be an NBA season, whether it's a short regular season, then right to the playoffs or straight to the playoffs. So if the NBA is going to get back together, I don't see how the NHL could say, well, we're going to cancel our season. I can't see how they could do that while the NBA gets back together, guys.
Especially in a sport where there's no body. I mean, there's obviously body contact, but not skin-on-skin contact like hockey.
But I think I read ice conditions. If you start talking about getting into deep June and July, it becomes impossible because of humidity, et cetera, to keep the ice even there. So. And I don't. What does that mean? We're all going to go to Calgary and play Calgary for the entirety of the playoffs? It's going to be a neutral site for it? I don't know. I don't know what that means.
The Arctic Circle.
Yeah. Right.
Play some outdoor hockey for the Stanley Cup. It's all live from Greenland.
Brady, you texted me this morning talking about that you were wearing your old high school jersey.
No, not my old high school jersey, please. So I'm asking this question.
It still fits. How about that? Huh?
Of the Townford Tire text line. Townford Tire text line, 802-655-6672. I think there are three answers to this question that you can choose from. I am wearing a T-shirt of my high school. It says Shen Basketball. Does that make me, one, a proud alum, two, a D-bag, or three, a loser?
Okay, let me answer first, and the answer comes, you need to turn around. Okay, there's nothing on the back. If that thing said Farkas 24 or whatever your number was, I would have had a problem with that. But the fact that it's just, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
See, I think at 30 years old, I think I'm on the cusp of being a loser. Now, I will say this, this is not my shirt. Well, it's my shirt, but I got it through my brother's team. Like, it was a fundraiser for my brother. So it's now, you know, only 6 years old as opposed to being 15 years old.
But it's just a T-shirt. It's not like you're wearing a you know, what do they call the basketball jerseys?
A tank top.
Yeah. Is there anything more disgusting than a hairy guy who's 58 with a big belly wearing like a basketball tank top?
I agree with you. If this shirt had my name and number on it, that would be worse. If I was wearing my high school Letterman's jacket, that would be worse. I think it's borderline, though. I don't think I'm a loser, but I think it's closer than you think it is.
Semi-loser.
I may start wearing tank tops again because, you know, guns a-blazing now that I've been doing Orange Theory. I just have hairy. Yeah, I know. I just have hairy arms, though. That's the problem.
Do. That's the worst thing about tank tops.
I know. I know.
Just don't do it. Just say no, Arnie.
I know that right. You see, it's all pasty white up by my muscles, and I got hair all the way up there too. So I don't like to show that off.
Now, what do you mean, what muscles? I heard that.
All right. So, I was trying to mumble it under my breath. See, I figure I can get away with more because you can't read my lips. Although, yes, you can, thanks to Twitch. But so if I like Brady, I'm 58 now. If I wore Milton basketball, just a regular T-shirt like yours, that might be a little different because I've got 28 years on you. I graduated in 79.
But see, I think that that is actually, I wonder if there's an age where it turns, because I fear that when people see me wearing my high school shirt right now, they think, oh, there's Glory Days Farkas over there reliving the past. But at some point, it's got to flip to like, oh, that's a little bit of nostalgia there for Rich Haskell. Like, yeah. I think at some point it flips. I don't know if that's at 35, at 45, at 50. I don't know when that flips.
Well, see, what happened, too, when you texted this out and you asked for our opinion on it, I thought the possibility was that you were actually wearing your button-up baseball jersey.
Yeah.
So this is very unoffensive to me.
I do have that, though. It was given. I bought it as a booster club fundraiser. I actually bought my high school jersey, like, 7 years after I graduated, just because it was there, and I bought it for $20 or whatever. So I actually do have that. Should I wear that tomorrow?
Yeah, you see, that's what I thought you had. The reason I thought that, you saw on Twitter where some guy put on his one of his hockey jerseys from when he was a kid, and it just went up to like a half shirt on him, and people started doing that. I thought that's what you were doing. I didn't understand what you were talking about.
All right, here's another thing. This is a dilemma I have. After my 20th year of being the PA announcer for the Lake Monsters, they brought me out on the field with a couple of other 20-year employees in the 20th year, as it turns out. So it was 5-6 years ago. And they gave me a beautiful Lake Monsters home jersey with the number 20 on the back and in big letters, Haskell.
Nice.
But I've never worn it.
You should have it framed.
That was what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I can't get past the name on the back. Hey, look at me, everybody. I'm the PA announcer.
I have a jersey from Oswego that I did as a fundraiser, I think. But they screwed it up. So I have...
Spelled your name wrong or something?
No, no, no. So what happened is on the front it says Oswego, and on the back it says Farkas, but there's no number. So now they're going to need to send me a new one that has the number on it so I can actually get both sides framed. I get the front side that says Oswego and the back side that says Farkas, because I'm going to end up with two jerseys out of this thing.
Definitely get that framed. Absolutely. And you know, that way you have that forever. Yeah, yeah. Even if they screwed it up.
And if I frame that Lake Monster shirt, that means I'd have something else that I could put on in my bathroom that never makes it to the wall.
Yeah, you have nothing on your wall.
I have 15 large framed pictures in my bathroom, and I've never put anything on the wall before.
But I mentioned this to you before, Brady. I saw CVU stuff at the CVU stuff at the pharmacy.
Well, so there's a deal with Rite Aids around the country where they will put the local high school stuff in the Rite Aid. So, like in my Rite Aid in Essex, there's Essex high school stuff. In my Rite Aid in New York, where I where I grew up, there's my high school stuff. Is it those Rite Aids too? That's a deal that Rite Aid has. I'm surprised at this. The Town Fair Tire text line is largely saying that it's okay to wear old high school shirt just as long as you don't have, your name or your number on it to make it look like it was something you actually wore in high school. I'm surprised at that. I thought most people, I got one guy on Twitter who said it's loserish, but everybody else has been good.
Yeah, Matt Montpelier says proud alum. Nathan Williston says school spirit never dies. Wear it proudly. Glenn and Moncton, unless you're using it to get into the high school, which would be creepy, then it's fine.
I do like Chris's one. It's okay if your kid plays for the team. You may be pushing it a little bit. It's been out of school as long as you were in it. You've seen parents like that will wear their kid's number or say, I'm the mom of number 10 or something like that, you know?
It's not gross,
I think
Rich.
It is gross. Look at me, everybody. I'm the father of the goaltender.
Whoops. Yes, yes. You do that to me or what?
No, but are you going to wear a shirt at
goalie dad, goalie
says,
mom?
Yes, it says goalie dad on it.
Come on, see, I think that's cool.
I couldn't be more proud of my daughter, but I'm not wearing something that says Miranda's the greatest on my back.
That doesn't say all it is your kid's number. It's just support, Rich. I hesitate. I mean, come on. Don't you accept loving parents?
No, I can't stand that either. I'm like, you know what?
I would think that you and your wife would be the king of that.
My wife does that. Look, whenever I see somebody do that, if their kid does something wrong, I'll look over at them immediately to see their reaction.
Look, I'm just uncomfortable calling attention to myself. I don't know how I've ever survived in this business for this long.
Did your daughter play a high school sport?
She played field hockey in junior high.
A high school sport, you might feel differently.
I would go to the games in normal clothing and I would clap and cheer for her. That would be it. I'm not going to wear Miranda's dad for a shirt.
If it's the state championship game, and you understand that a lot of those things are fundraisers, Rich, to keep those programs afloat. So if your daughter said...
Oh, you're going there.
So if your daughter said, hey, dad, can I... Dad, could you please spend $15 to buy this MMU t-shirt so that we can have new jerseys this year? You're going to say, no, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it, Miranda.
You've given me 10 seconds to get weasel my way out of this mess. I would buy the shirt and not wear it.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. That's what I would do also. All right, Brady, let's get to the top four at four.
The Huddle has 3 hours of show to cover everything, every day.
Four.
So you don't miss any.
Three.
It's the top four at four.
Two. One.
On 101.3, The Game.
Well, the top four at four is all thanks to Grazer's Restaurant, Maple Tree Place in Williston and Main Street in St. Albans. And like all of our sponsors and like all of local business, they need your help right now. So delivery and takeout, you can go there. You can order online at grazersvt.com. Remember the burgers, remember the sandwiches, the poutine, the salads, all of it delicious. Also the same deal, agave taco tequila casa, also Maple Tree Place in Williston. Today is Tuesday, so that means it's $3 Taco Tuesday. Mm. Get them to go, agavevt.com. Now we move on to the top four at four.
Number four.
Well, we knew it was coming yesterday because an IOC representative said it was likely. Today it's official. The Olympics have been postponed until 2021, the summer of 2021. They will still be in Tokyo. At least that's the plan now. And they will still be called, ironically, the Tokyo Olympics 2020. I have to imagine that's because of logoing on everything that they have. They don't want to change it. But the Olympics officially not happening this summer.
Now, no surprise here, guys. I mean, we thought this was going to happen. There's been talk about it for the longest time, especially being in Tokyo. I don't know how you're going to get Canada already pulled out, and we've heard about other countries doing the same thing. This has had to be done. They did it right. They got out and said, we're done. We'll do it 2021. I'm glad they didn't cancel it, and they postponed it for a year, so I'm happy for that part.
Now, this is, we talked a little bit about this yesterday and asked you the question, well, why don't you just move it a year? I mean, the Olympics are the Olympics. It's still just as good if you do it in 2021.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty much it. If they're going to cancel sports within one country, like the NBA, well, except for the Raptors, obviously, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Relatively close proximity compared to the Olympics. You can't possibly have an event where planes are flying in by the thousands from all over the world in a pandemic.
No, you're right. And it's good that the IOC got out in front of it, because the last thing the IOC wants is a situation where they look really bad waiting until the last second. I wish that everybody could have waited 3 weeks to a month and made the decision then. But if Canada was going to back out, and then Australia was going to back out, and the U.S. was thinking of it, Germany was thinking of it, you really don't want to get down to the point where, like, well, we're going to have the Olympics and five nations are left. I mean, you don't really want to do that. So the IOC gets to save some face. They look like they're relatively trailblazing in this crusade against the coronavirus. Logistically, it's going to be a nightmare in terms of scheduling things and workers and moving things and travel and training and time trials. It's going to be horrendous. But they're going to have the Olympics, Arnie, and that's what matters to me, because I know you love the Olympics like I do.
I do, but I was just going to ask you, if you were going to rank who I want back in order, college basketball is done, so we can forget about that. I guess NBA would be one, NHL two, obviously Major League Baseball three, and then I would have Olympics at number four. I'm not putting in football there. I'm going to assume that's going to go off without a hitch, so... That would be my one through four there. Olympics would have been on the bottom, though. But I do love the Olympics.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like a year and a half from now when the Olympics do come and the world comes together? I mean, after what this world is going through right now, it's going to be an unbelievable, global, wonderful, amazing event.
It's going to be really interesting. I think that's a great point, something I hadn't really thought of, Rich. So I think that is right.
Look at you, that first time for everything.
Wow, after 10 years of doing this.
Wow, look at that.
I just made a point.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I think you're right. It's absolutely going to be a world spectacle, unlike something that we've seen. People coming, you know, you think about this country coming together after 9/11. I think you're going to see a similar thing at the Olympics in 2021. It is going to be a hassle. And Arnie, as for the ranking system, Major League Baseball one.
Yeah, I figured that for you.
The Olympics two. Then I'd rather have the NBA. Then tennis. Then the NHL.
Wow. Rich, come on now.
More day drinking from Brady.
Well, I'm just saying, I'd rather have my French Open back than have the NHL.
Well, you didn't bring in the golf, the Masters.
Now, that would be six. I'd rather have the NHL before.
Look, I got to admit, I don't want to sound like a fair weather fan here, but if the Bruins were 14-44 when this thing hit, I'd feel a little better about it. But to have it, it almost feels like the Expos. You know, although the difference is the Bruins have a little bit of past history of championships, at least one in the last 40 years or whatever. So it feels a little that way. Like it just got snatched away from you right as it was about to get really good.
Top 4-4 in the huddle, 101.3 the game.
Number 3.
Well, Devin McCourty did some speaking on his podcast he does with his brother Jason, and he addressed everyone who says that the 2020 Patriots aren't going to be very good. So Devin McCourty, among the team leaders in that secondary and among the team leaders on the roster in general, had this to say.
I think it's a fun time. You know, every team will come back and try to mesh together, and it'll be all for the 2020 season. And at the end of the day, everybody wants to be the last team playing, and that'll still be our goal, and we'll have to work hard to kind of build a team. And I think defensively, even though we lost some key guys, we still bring a good amount of veteran guys back. I think that'll have to lead the charge. And the same way on offense, you know, with our offensive line and then with Jules and James White, we got some good leaders over there that we're going to need for them to kind of lead the way until we get going. And then it's just about playing good football.
Look, it's right for Devin McCourty. It's right for McCourty to be optimistic.
Right, of course he is.
The 2020 Patriots remind me of the vision they had for the 2020 Red Sox. There are individual things to be excited about. There are individual players that are good and exciting. McCourty, Slater, James White, Edelman. There are individual storylines to be interested in. You know, how does David Andrews come back? What do they do? Kind of transforming the defense. How's life without Brady? There's individual storylines. There's individual good players. Collectively, though, God, I can't be as optimistic as he sounds.
No, that's ridiculous. Fun time? How much fun are you going to be having when you're 2-6 to start out the first half of the year? No fun time is going to be in for this year. And I'm willing to make a bet. Julian Edelman will never see the field for the New England Patriots in the regular season. They'll get rid of him if they can.
Awesome. From the 13 or 17 and 33 guys.
Yes, exactly.
I love
exactly.
It when you make picks that I don't like because I know they won't come true. No, I mean, look, if McCourty's doing a podcast with his brother, what's he going to say? The guy, you know, he's not going to say, I don't know, this Jared Stidham seems awfully young and really didn't show any poise last year. But, I mean, he did say a few things. He said some of the best weeks as a defense we had in practice. And then Stiddy, as if he's just one of the guys, sounds like he's 35 already. Stiddy ate us up in practice leading up to the game, and I think that put more pressure on us. So, I mean, he's saying specific things that Stidham did. Look, I have no idea what this kid is. He may flame out after week 3 and we'll never see him again. But I like the idea of giving a 23-year-old a shot.
Well, I love Jordan Palmer, his quarterback coach and kind of the quarterback guru, the new age quarterback guru. He's the brother of Carson Palmer. He loves Stidham, says he's been working with him since he was 16 and thinks he's got superstar written all over him. But we're going to have him coming up here before the draft. Jordan Palmer is going to join us, and I can't wait to have him on in the next month or so to talk about all this, Arnie.
I was going to ask you, how did he become the quarterback guru? Did he just understand the game, didn't have significant talent, or like some of the other quarterbacks in the NFL? How is he the quarterback guru?
Well, I don't know, but they always say those who can't do teach. So, I mean, Trent Dilfer has become the quarterback guru for the high school kids with his, you know, Elite 11 camps. And, that's all Trent Dilfer. So,
and you know who else? Dan Orlovsky? Is that, how do you say his name?
Orlovsky.
Isn't he like the quarterback guru also?
And he's great.
He's the TV quarterback guru.
Talk about articulate. That guy, man.
Orlovsky's awesome.
I could listen to him forever.
I'd want him. He could be, if he ever comes to Burlington, he can do the show with us just in person for a week.
Oh, absolutely. And we won't have to talk for 3 hours every day.
Top 4-4 the huddle, 101.3 the game.
Number 2.
Tom Brady introduced to the Tampa Bay media market today, the Tampa Bay fans, via a conference call. His new head coach, Bruce Arians, had this to say at the other end of one of the many lines.
Yeah, to echo what Jason said, I hope everybody's healthy, your families are healthy, and you're dealing with this crisis that we're going through. And hopefully football can be a little bit of a bright light for the upcoming days and months ahead. Like Jason said, I'm extremely excited. Wish we could start practice tomorrow, but we can't, obviously. And to have Tom lead our football team into the future, I've been very, very blessed as a coach to have been around some of the great ones, and now to have the greatest one of all time, not because of, to me, what he does on the field, but what he does to his teammates. Everywhere, he makes everyone better that walks into that huddle, and really just excited to get started.
So Bruce Arians, very, very excited to have Tom Brady. The Buccaneers said he was their number one free agent priority. They didn't think he was going to even be available, but they go get him anyways, and Bruce Arians excited about what he does on and off the field, Arnie.
You know, I may be wrong on this, and I know you guys have said, remember when the Patriots got Antonio Brown, they're like, okay, it's going to take him about a month to catch up to speed. And I'm like, what month? It should take you like an hour, for crying out loud. You've been playing football forever. Tom Brady's been playing football forever. Let's get at it. I'm wondering if there's any delay in the NFL with the camps or preseason because of the virus. Does Tom Brady benefit from that, or does it hurt him because he's going to a new team? I mean, the guy certainly is a veteran. This guy needs about as much training as nobody. The guy should be able to come in tomorrow and say, let's play football. But he does have to get acclimated with his new team. I still think he's such a veteran. I think it may play in his hands if anything gets canceled and he doesn't get much practice time with him.
You can't tell me he's not already staring down at that playbook from Tampa Bay already in one of his studies, surrounded by books and computers in room 27A of the mansion. But I guarantee you he's already all over it. And he talked also during that press conference today about how he's very familiar with what Bruce Arians has been up to for his entire career. He's followed him and he's admired him.
Well, Bruce Arians has worked with a lot of great quarterbacks. Carson Palmer is one. Andrew Luck is another. Ben Roethlisberger is another. And everything he's touched has turned to relative gold for the most part. And yes, Jameis Winston threw a lot of interceptions last year, but he also threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. So Jameis Winston did some things, did accomplish some things on the offensive end under Bruce Arians as well. As far as Brady being hurt, Arnie, I think every player in the NFL would be hurt by any kind of delay. I just think you're going to notice it more with young quarterbacks. So I think if young quarterbacks are going to slip 40% and Brady slips 20, Brady still has a 20% advantage.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And like I said, he's such a veteran. The only thing is, if he was going back to New England, I think it'd give him a real big advantage because that guy could do like 10 minutes of practice and that team should be on the same page. Obviously, with the new team, it's going to take a lot longer, but I think he'll be ready to go. His whole team is a bunch of veterans anyway, so he should be good to go.
Top 4-4 in the huddle, 101.3 the game.
Number one.
Well, again, Tom Brady introduced as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He had plenty to say, including he talked about how tough it's been to leave New England and what the transition was like and how hard it was to tell Robert Kraft he was walking out the door.
It was really, you know, the night that I had stopped by and seen, I spoke with Mr. Kraft and asked if I'd come over and see him. And we spoke and we had a great conversation, you know, and I just wanted to express, what he's meant to me in my life. And we spoke with Coach Belichick at the same time. We were at different locations, so we talked to him, and it was a great conversation, and got a chance to talk to Jonathan Kraft as well. And, you know, all three of those guys have been involved in so many important decisions in my life, but career-related, personal-related. You know, I leave there with just great admiration for the people in that organization, and it's a world-class, first-class organization in every way, and I wanted to leave it that way too.
Tom Brady had every chance to sully the Patriots and take shots, and he would not do it. He acknowledged it was hard, but he wanted to leave it in a first-class manner.
As usual.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. He did do it that way, Rich and Brady. It's as usual, but, you know, I can't believe it was like that. I can't believe him going over there. There wasn't something that was a little animosity, like, hey, I've been here 20 years. And then to go to Jonathan Kraft and, you know, then, I mean, Robert, too. I mean, Robert and Jonathan both talked to him. So obviously, you know, both of them are running the team. And Belichick, I mean, you spoke to everybody and not one person could say, hey, let's stop this. It's gone too far. Let's bring you back.
Right.
I guess it was too little too late by then, though.
Yeah, I mean, you're sitting there wondering what the Krafts are saying. You know, isn't there an attempt to say, how about $32 million for the next year? I mean, obviously, they weren't in a position to do that, but it is Tom bleeping Brady. You know, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. The rules are different if it's Tom Brady, but it doesn't appear at any point that any of this was different from any other negotiation. And Tom Brady's father said it was going to end like that, and sure enough, it did.
Well, it absolutely did. Why don't we take a break, guys? Yeah. When we come back, a guy who's played against Tom Brady on more than one occasion, former Steelers defensive back and multi-time Super Bowl champion, Ike Taylor is going to stop by. Looking forward to him.
Vote for Ike. Ike Taylor coming up next. You're in the huddle. What about 1.3 the game?
We know times are crazy and you miss sports. But you'll never have to miss us. We're not going anywhere. It's your home for sports in the Champlain Valley. 101.3 the game. computer, on your phone, on your Amazon Echo, and video streaming on Twitch. There's always a way to listen to the show.
I think you might want to listen.
It's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Here in the huddle, right here on 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. A very interesting Tuesday as we just recently, a couple hours ago, watched Tom Brady's introductory conference call with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want to go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and talk with a guy who's played against Tom Brady on a few occasions. It's two-time Super Bowl champion, 12-year NFL veteran, and now the host of a Steelers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. It's Ike Taylor. Ike, how are you?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good. I appreciate you joining us. And again, you played against Tom Brady a couple times, including in the playoffs. What do you think of him moving on from New England?
It's a good changeup. You know, he's been married to the New England Patriots for 20 years, got a cool little divorce. Now he's remarried to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and, you know, they wound up signing him 2 years for 50. Everything fully guaranteed, no trade clause, no nothing. So sometimes, though, you know, you gotta appreciate what you have, but at the same time, in life, sometimes it's good to move on. That's what Tom Brady's doing. He's moving on. He got a nice little setup.
Yeah.
Coach Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, Larry Foote. I know a lot of people on that coaching staff that won, that coached me or I played with. So he's going into a good situation. I saw the ticket sales and went up for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. So it's just good, man. It's going to be interesting seeing him in a different uniform other than the New England Patriots. But just listening to his conference calls, what he just had that I watched on TV, you know, he said, man, don't nobody really remember the past. They want to see what you do now. So you already know Tom Brady head is where it needs to be, and he's live and he's focused.
Ike, a lot's been made about Brady's relationship with Belichick and you know, Belichick's style. What kind of coach did you like to play for?
And I was fortunate. All my coaches have been players' coaches. Like, even the Hall of Fame Coach Kyle, he was, I mean, he made the faces for TV, but, man, he was very lenient towards his player. Like, guys love to play for Coach Kyle. Now, if you would have asked a coach, you know, it was hard working with Coach Kyle as far as, like, players. Man, we love playing for Coach Kyle. Then I wind up getting Coach Tom, and then he's like the ultimate coach. Like, he really wants you to show your personality and be who you are. So I was just fortunate enough out of my 12-year career to have two coaches that was players' coaches.
Ike, what was it like to play against Tom Brady on the field? I mean, what was he doing that made it so tough as a defender?
Damn savage. That's what he was. Damn savage, fellas. Man, I wish he would have left when I was playing. We probably would have won 6 or 7 Super Bowls. He's been still a killer. Keep it 100 with you, he's just been still a killer. Like, he's been the fork in the road for the Pittsburgh Steelers when you go against Tom Brady and New England Patriots. That's just how it's been. Tom Brady been to the Super Bowl 9 times, won 6. We've ran across a few times, and there ain't nothing but, like, a mutual respect for Tom Brady, especially for him going in the round he went, you know, a 6th-round draft pick, having to overcome, and he's still having that chip on the shoulder. That's the crazy thing about it. Like, Tom Brady still plays and still has the passion with that chip on the shoulder, like he's a 1st-round draft pick, but he's a 6th-round draft pick. So, to me, that's what made Tom Brady so special. Just coming in, late-round draft pick, when ain't nobody give you a chance. But 20 years later, you got more Super Bowls than a lot of, you know, franchises in the NFL that's been around for 100 years. So, Tom Brady, but you can just tell the work he puts in. You can just tell by the reaction of his teammates and how they applaud him and how he acts, how he's so professional. And he's just one of the guys. You know, it's hard to find a guy of his stature. You know, usually the quarterbacks, they're not standoffish, but they got to kind of be in a bubble of their own because who they are. But Tom Brady, he's out of that bubble. He's with the guys. He's the kind of guy to be like, hey, what we doing tonight? You know, as far as like, either kicking it or going having fun, watching tape, whatever you want to do. He's just part of the group. So that's what I love about Tom Brady from afar.
Ike, I love it. I've heard thousands of references to what they think of when they think of Tom Brady, and a fork in the road has never been one of them. So, but that's exactly what he's been for a lot of people.
Right.
Bruce Arians is of course, Brady's new head coach in Tampa. He was a coach in Pittsburgh when you were there for a long time. Did you get a chance to interact with him at all, or just not so much because he was on the other side of the ball?
Oh, you talking about a competitive coach. Like, in training camp, man, when it came down to, like, goal line and one-on-ones and team activities, offense versus defense, Bruce Arians is putting his money on his offense, and he's going to let you know. He's going to bet it. He ain't going to bet it. So he's a competitive coach, but here again, here goes another coach who's a player's coach. Now, I got the opportunity in my career to, when I was in my prime, so I used to go ask Coach B.A., like, B.A., if you were to play me, how would you attack me? And he'll tell me. So he's very educational. He's wide open. He's honest. He's very player-friendly. So, you know, B.A., man, and you can just look at the guys he got on the staff. Just think about it. Think about the guys. It's the guys he coached. Just think about it. The guys on his staff are the guys he coached.
Yeah.
So that says a lot about a head coach, you know, and he's kind of giving or passing the torch to Byron Leftwich, which says a lot as a man and your ego. So he's willing to grow, and willing to grow as a man or a coach is understanding where you're at in life, how comfortable you are with yourself, and that's B.A., so... B.A. for me always going to be a good coach, man. B.A. just a good dude. He's another one of the guys who's just one of the boys. He don't feel like he's better than nobody. He's always willing to learn and pass torches and educate people. So there you go again with another coach from Pittsburgh who's been a player's coach.
Two-time Super Bowl champion, former Steelers defensive back Ike Taylor, now a host of a Steelers podcast, the Believe in Steelers podcast and the Believe Podcast Network, is here on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game and 1013thegame.com. Ike, you got a lot of positive memories in your career. Is there one play in your career that you can still recall vividly everything about it, one play that stands out?
Oh, man. It's not really one play, man. It's the locker room. Just being in Pittsburgh and just the brotherhood and still having mass group text, 30 guys in the group text. We still texting each other till this day. It's that. You know, it's not the game I miss. It's my brothers I miss. It's the camaraderie. It's the selfless acts. It's laying everything you had on the line, not for yourself, but for your teammates. Like, them the memories. Every time I talk to somebody, tell somebody about my career, it's never really about what I did. It's about what we did. So, and that starts up top with the Rooney family. And the two coaches I played under, Coach Kyle, who's a Hall of Fame coach. And Coach Tom, I think he'll soon be a Hall of Fame coach if he keep going the way he going. So that's my memories, man. So I ain't really got too much to say about me. I like to toot my own horn sometimes, but for the most part, it was a wee thing for me to toot my own horn at this point in time in my life.
All right, then let me try this one. If you had one play that stands out that you wish you could have had back, where would it go? Where would you go?
Not even one, because every play taught me something.
See, that's an educated answer, Rich. That's a smart guy who's played 12 years in the league. That's an educated answer. How about this one?
Real answer.
Receiver who talked the most trash when you were lining up against him.
I was doing the most. I was talking so much, I was hearing myself talk.
So, who's mouthier? You, Richard Sherman, Josh Norman? Are you the mouthiest DB in history?
100%. Ask Ryan Clark or Troy Polamalu. Ask any one of my teammates who played ball with me, like, who talked the most? They were like, I probably talked yourself to sleep.
Oh, man.
Ike, how tough was it to match up with Julian Edelman?
Just a quick shifty. Julian is a Conor McGregor football. Somebody gonna use that one.
Yeah, that's good.
Julian Edelman is the Conor McGregor. He don't give a you know what.
Ike Taylor with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. Ike, I have two questions in reserve here. I couldn't, you know, before I knew if you were fun or not, I didn't know if I was going to ask them, but you seem fun, so I'm going to ask you these questions anyways. So I'm a diehard Seahawks fan. Are you ready to admit 15 years later that the referees were a little bit biased towards the Steelers in the 05 Super Bowl? That was not pass interference on Daryl Jackson in the end zone.
100% that was pass interference.
No, Ike, don't tell me that.
Last time I checked, I guess you forgot the road we had to get there, right? We faced, like, the top five offenses in the NFL at that time, and all of them had to go to sleep.
Well, that, you know, that's spoken like a true trash talker. Yeah. So how about this one? I know that you used to listen, I believe, to Lil Wayne in your headphones underneath your helmet. How'd you feel about Lil Wayne taking a shot at you before the Super Bowl against the Packers in his green and yellow remix?
Well, before he said anything, he was like, I'm not taking a shot, I'm just making this song. So even though he took a shot, he still gave me the heads up in the morning what he was about to do. So it's all good. He a cheesehead, so it's cool.
If he hadn't given you the heads up, though, you would have said something to him, right?
I know them personally. We all went to high school together, so it's no big issue.
Wow, there you go. So, Ike Taylor, two-time Super Bowl champion, now host of the Believe in Steelers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Ike, man, this was a lot of fun. We appreciate it, and we'll have to do it again down the line.
Oh, 100%. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Absolutely. There he goes, Ike Taylor. He's still wrong. He's gone, right? Yeah. He still was not pass interference, or was not offensive pass interference on the Seahawks in that Super Bowl, Arnie. Definitely robbed. Okay, Arnie's gone, apparently. Arnie doesn't want to talk to us?
No, I do. I'm sorry about that. I had my mic turned down. I was listening.
Are you taking your fifth shower of the day?
Yeah, I'm taking my fifth. You know what's interesting, Rich? I don't know if you remember, Ike Taylor was a running back, I believe, in college.
Wide receiver.
Oh, was, but I thought he played tailback. He only switched over to corner.
It was running back. You know, yeah, you're right. It was running back.
He was always switched over to corner his senior year. And there's a stat about him. I looked up in Wikipedia. In four games at corner Louisiana Lafayette, he had allowed zero catches by any wide receiver in four games. So now he asked for the change from tailback to corner. And boy, it paid off for him, no doubt about that.
Yeah, Joe in Essex on the text line enjoyed the interview, but he said Ike Taylor has struggled to take off his mind. The play over the top and the playoffs from Tim Tebow to Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
What makes that so memorable was because it was the first play of overtime.
Yes, that was the first play of overtime. And I actually thought when you asked him the question, which play would you like to have back in your career?
He wouldn't go there.
I thought, he said I learned from all of them. It was just a smart answer. I love how he went to high school with Lil Wayne. That's what I liked.
That's a person, right?
I know you're familiar with I know you're familiar with Lil Wayne's green and yellow remix of where Lil Wayne is a Packers fan, and he throws out this line. Got a pocket full of big faces. Throw it up. Touchdown on Ike Taylor.
I like that.
Is it that here? Well, isn't that Rich? Isn't that your favorite song? Got a pocket full of big faces. Throw it up. Touchdown on Ike Taylor. So he was throwing Lil Wayne, lucky they're high school friends. I wonder if they still wear their high school clothes around. But
yeah, like you do. But I don't know, but I'm going to go home and buy the 45 tonight.
So you can't go out anywhere. You have to download it digitally. So
I love that.
Ike Taylor was a lot of fun, though.
Yes, he was. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
We come back. Colin's got some takes on the Patriots, and we got Gone But Not Forgotten in a little bit more uplifting way.
That's gone. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 The Game.
He's sometimes wrong.
Well, center field is a very famous song.
Yeah, I know that.
By the outfield, right?
It's John Fogerty.
John Fogerty, big name.
He's sometimes really wrong.
Put me in cold.
I'm ready to play.
Or is it cold?
It's definitely coach.
Put me in cold.
No, it's not.
But he's always entertaining.
Center field, right?
Okay, I got that part right there. It's Arnie Spanier.
Damn, I'm so bad at music.
On the huddle on 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. What about 1.3 The Game? Moving along on this Tuesday. Where do you want to get to here first, Brady?
Well, let's get to Gone But Not Forgotten, actually. We'll get to what Colin has to say in hour number three.
All right, Gone But Not Forgotten.
It's Tuesday, so it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to Elmwood Meunier Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, I'll start with this one. This one is intriguing. We talk about death all the time. And by the way, thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. Check this one out. You know who Agrippina the Younger is?
No,
I didn't know either.
The rapper.
Died in 59. 59. That's the year 59 at the age of 43. Now, circumstances of her death vary. But it suggested she was murdered by her son, the Emperor Nero. So, yes, back in 59.
Ancient Rome, Emperor Nero. Yeah,
there you go. So I that caught my attention. I had to put that one
out. Gives you a whole different meaning to taking you back to 59. Except in this case, you're literally taking you back to 59. Gone but not forgotten, the ability to dislike Joe Buck. I have been protecting this guy and saying how much I enjoy his calls and what a good guy he is. Here he is. This is where we're at right now, doing play-by-play at his house yesterday.
This is called negotiation, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you want to watch?
Michelle on the left is trying to prepare dinner. Wyatt on the right fighting back a yawn, dressed like kind of a half-ass Fred Flintstone.
You do want to watch Blippi?
And he wants to watch Blippi, folks. Oh, and he's hit his mom. He has hit his mom. Mom is playing it up. Wyatt is crying. All hell is broken loose inside this house. Quarantine day 7. For us, it's about day 13.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, but they're hugging. Everything has come back together.
How great is that?
I love that.
We asked Rich if he would start narrating. We had Kevin Harlan on Friday. We asked him if he's narrating household tasks. I can just picture him going, and there's the vacuum, and now he goes to the right, now back to the left, and he empties the bag, and boom, it's in the trash.
Oh, and the cat has pooped on the floor again.
Oh, jeez.
I can picture that. Gone but not forgotten. This is actually a real gone, but it has a happy ending to it. So there is a kid named Carson Lane who was 7 years old whose mother died. And there's been an unbelievable story in The Athletic about how the Celtics had befriended this kid. And this kid's getting letters now from all over the country and all over New England. Celtics players, Boston College, they've invited him to games. He's become friends with Marcus Smart and Carson Edwards. And it just reminds you that as we look for uplifting stories, here's a sad story about a 7-year-old losing his mom. But now these Boston Celtics have given him memories for a lifetime and developed friendships for a lifetime for him. And, you know, for all the bad that's gone on in the world, that one made me smile at the end of the day.
All right, good story. 2 hours are in the books. Power Hour coming up next. Brady will tell you what's trending. Then we'll get to TC, Tom Caron, all that in the Power Hour. You're in the huddle. What about 1.3 The Game?
When it comes to the Red Sox and Bruins, we have plenty of questions. And this guy has plenty of answers. It's Tom Caron.
He's the best, man. Love you guys.
Right. In the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. It is the Power Hour of the show. Mere moments away from Tom Caron. Brady will get him on the line. Hey, Rich, I was thinking, I may come up with a new radio idea because if I open up my curtain, I could see the street from my house. And with everybody on lockdown where you can only, you know, either be home or drive around, I could have people drive by my house and I could wave to them as I'm doing the radio show.
Sort of like the school teachers are doing for the kids. They're having little mini parades from their cars as they
really
go. Yeah, they had one up in St. Albans. It's becoming kind of a craze. Which is such a cool thing to do.
I'll just open up the window and I'll say honk. I'll wave to you. You can watch me do the show. If you're bored, you're in your car, you can see me. It's like drive-through radio. I may be onto something here.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like staring at Arnie Spanier sitting on his sofa talking. That sounds very stimulating.
And by the way, I'm going to have my birthday in, coming up a week from Friday.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say, if yours is coming up, then mine must be right behind it.
Right. So we'll be quarantined, I guess, if that happens today or tomorrow for 2 weeks.
All right. So what is your birthday?
April 3rd.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Mine's the 8th.
Yeah. So we may be out of quarantine by the time your birthday comes
59
around.
59 years old. Yeah. Good God, what happened?
How about someone who doesn't look nearly as old as you? How about our guy Tom Caron of Nesson? So how about that? Why don't we go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, Arnie?
Let's do it. Joining us now, our Red Sox and Bruin insider at Nesson. Thanks to Stacey Adamski, the Adamski Law. Hey, it's Tom Caron. How you doing, TC? That's good. That's easy for me to say. Good. How you been holding up, TC? How's it going down there?
We're doing good. I mean, we got it wasn't a shelter in place, but it was a stay-at-home advisory from the governor. Went into effect at noon today here in Massachusetts. We've got, you know, like expected, it's starting to explode here. 300-something cases announced today. We're over 1,100 now total. And as we know from watching New York and California and Washington, that's just going to blow up exponentially in the next few days. So the the next couple of weeks are scary, as we all know. It's also why we need to stay home and try to do what we can to flatten the curve.
Now, you've been doing the podcast, I know, but you've been hosting After Hours on Nesson. Is that pretty much the work, pretty much everything you're doing at this point?
Yeah, and even that, I think we're going to cut back a little bit on now because of the governor's proclamation that went into effect today. And, you know, they're really, Nesson's trying to limit the people coming inside the building like every other office and limit it to smaller groups. So I think you're going to see a whole lot of the 2013 Red Sox over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, it's funny, last night we showed the Game 7 against the Maple Leafs, the Bruins Maple Leafs game, and people were tweeting about it like it was a live game. They're all caught up in the comeback again. You know, it's about all you can do right now because we're all jonesing for some sort of action, some sort of sports to watch. But, yeah, I've been hosting on and off for the past week. But like I said, I think we're all going to be cutting back on that until the April 7th is the end of the two-week proclamation from the governor.
Well, TC, I've been watching, you know, NFL Network, ESPN, and I was watching After Hours on Nesson yesterday, and I saw some of the guests in there. There's this obsession from all of your guests to have books behind them to make it look like you just got this endless library. Why the obsession with every reporter having to have a giant stack of books behind them?
Well, it makes you look intelligent. It makes you look like you have a huge library that you're, you know, that you're, what is the line? Your library smells of leather and
leather-bound books and rich mahogany.
There you go, rich mahogany. Thank you. I keep saying, and I haven't done one at home in a little while. I'm waiting for the next time I go live. I'm going to have shelves filled with toilet paper behind me. I'm going to have like three shelves loaded up with stacks of toilet paper so I can just flaunt it in everybody's face. Of course, I'd have to get toilet paper to be able to do that. So we'll see how that. The other one we had, I did the show late last week, and Billy Jaffe joined us, and he had a shelf with his three Emmys up on the shelf behind us. So I totally had to call him out for flexing on the show like that. But you're right. Everybody's got books. Nobody's bought a book in 10 years, but everybody's got 40 of them sitting behind them.
TC, baseball news. Since we last spoke, Chris Sale's going to get Tommy John surgery officially. What do we know about what transpired? Was it truly the one throwing session did him in again, or do we really think he needed it all along?
Well, he needed it all along. I mean, nothing changed. It's not like he got a new injury throwing to batters, but he was told by James Andrews, the best in the business, and Neil Atrache, or however you say his name, that he would be able to heal with rest and anti-inflammatories, and much like David Price did a couple of years before. Don't forget, we all thought David Price, whatever, that was 2017, I believe, we all thought he was going to have to get Tommy John eventually. He still hasn't, though he has had some issues with injuries, but he has continued to pitch. And that's what they had told Sale, and that's what Sale thought he could do, and the Red Sox went along with it. You had no way of knowing until you ramped up and threw the hitters again. That didn't happen until the beginning of this month, and now he's shut down. And, you know, I don't know when he's going to be able to get the surgery. You can't just go waltzing into a hospital right now and say, fix my elbow. There are bigger concerns going on in hospitals around America. And so that's a real issue. I'm sure he'll get it done. I'm sure they'll figure out a way to get a place to get it done. But he's going to miss, I mean, a good portion of 2021. And you probably could have avoided that if you'd have gotten it done last August.
Oh, that's right. TC, you see, the Mets Syndergaard is going to have Tommy John surgery. He's now gone if there's going to be a year.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You wonder if some of these guys are saying, you know, I was going to try to do it with rest, but who knows how much of a season we're going to have. Now, that's not the case with Sale, because Sale goes back to last August, as we know. But I wonder if guys are going to line up and get some surgeries that maybe they've been putting off.
That's what I said.
Because you don't know if they're going to pitch this year. You don't know if you're going to play this year. I think they will. I don't think you're going to lose the whole season. But if it winds up being a short season and it's something you really need, maybe you're better off getting it now and missing a short season.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, TC, in Sale's case, I mean, is that something they were possibly trying to avoid because of his age, or they genuinely didn't think he needed it?
No, they genuinely didn't. I mean, I don't know about needed it. I think, you know, there's always a chance he would need it. They've been talking about him needing it since he was a rookie. He's so small, you know, thin, and he has such a max effort delivery that people have sort of always assumed he would someday need Tommy John surgery. But they really thought he would be able to follow the rest and anti-inflammatory and rehabilitation, and it just didn't work. But they really thought that would work because they were being told by the best doctors that's what he needed.
Tom Karen, Red Sox Bruins insider at Nesson. Thanks to Stacey Adamski. He joins us every Tuesday at this time at AdamskiLaw.com or 802 802- 363-6371. I worry about Chris Sale's age. He's now over 30 years old. What do we know about the track record for people over 30 who get Tommy John?
Yeah, there are some guys who have come back and pitched well, but not many, not at that age. And not at the, you know, you got to look at the number of innings and pitches he's thrown in his career. That's, you know, this is a guy, again, with a small, you know, frame, a thin, there's not much beef there. There's not much, there's not Roger Clemens, you know, huge from the waist down driving it. He puts everything into every pitch. So that's my concern. That said, I mean, you guys have heard him talk after outings. You've heard him talk along the way. This guy is as serious a warrior as I've ever been around in baseball. And if there's anybody that I have faith who will put in every bit of effort asked and every step demanded by the trainers and the rehab guys, it's Chris Sale. So I wouldn't count him out because I absolutely think he will be a tireless worker trying to come back and prove himself.
Arnie, I'm going to ask this question. I want you to ask the question about Tom Brady next, but I want to ask one more baseball question of TC. TC, it's a confusing issue, but it's going to be a big issue for baseball moving forward, I think. What about the issue of service time and free agency and things like that? I mean, the Red Sox have Andrew Benintendi for, in theory, I think, 3 more years here. So if they miss out on half a season or, heaven forbid, a full season, they, you know, in my mind, hey, I want him to have 3 years left, but he's only going to want him to have 2 years left. So what are they going to do with this?
Yeah, well, that's why when compared to other sports, you know, basketball and hockey had the majority of a season. If you had to pull a plug on it, I don't think it'd be that hard to argue that they had a season. But for baseball, you know, it's going to get real interesting. And God forbid they cancel the entire season, because that's when it really gets nasty. Now, let's do the hypothetical. They don't play baseball this year. And again, I don't think that'll happen. I'm not saying that. But let's say they didn't play baseball at all this year. If you're the Los Angeles Dodgers, you want your players back.
Yes.
You gave up 3 guys for Mookie Betts and he never played. Or you want baseball to push everything off a year and you still get Mookie Betts for a year. But Mookie Betts is going to say, well, wait, I don't want to hit free agency a year older. That's going to take away my earning ability. So this is a real issue. And don't forget, the collective bargaining agreement runs out at the end of the year. So you're going into a place right now where it's easy to say everybody wants baseball back, but Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association have a lot of negotiating to do and a lot of ground to cover, because they have to close that gap on each and every one of these small issues. Like, they have to figure out what you're going to do if you don't play. What do you do if you play 50 games? What do you do if you play 30 games? If you play 80 games? Is that a full season, a half season? I mean, they're still going back and forth over per diems and housing allocations and payments that players get as they all go home from spring training. So it's going to be a while before they tackle the big one.
Yeah, big mess out there. What did you think of Tom Brady's presser today? It caught me off guard. I thought we were going to see him live on Skype or something. But what did you think of the whole thing?
Yeah, it was a conference call, and that's kind of where we're at. You know, you do what you can to get something on there. It was fine. He's taking the high road. Good for him. You know, he should be taking the high road. And I don't even know where he was. Where was he? Did they figure out where he was doing it from?
I think he was in Boston or in New York. Yeah, one of the two.
New York. I thought he was home in New York. So I don't know. What do I make of it? I mean, the whole thing, I still can't believe he went to Tampa Bay when it's all said and done.
I can't even.
I know they've got weapons. I know that, you know, Godwin and Evans are great threats down the field. They got 2 good tight ends, so they got an offense with some weapons. I mean, but who wants to go to Tampa Bay? I mean, who, you know, that's, like I think I said last week, you know, the whole reason I thought he put that clause in his contract where they couldn't tag him and trade him is because he didn't want to go to Tampa Bay. That's, you put the clause in to avoid going to a place like Tampa Bay. But they stepped up. They paid him. He likes Bruce Arians, apparently. But it's all kind of strange. Just, you know, even when he was talking today about coming to Tampa Bay and, you know, kind of acting like there's this great football tradition and huge fan base in Tampa Bay. I mean, there hasn't been. Maybe there will be starting now, but he's that's why he's going there. He's going there to create something that has not existed, even in their Super Bowl year.
Yeah, nothing like Leroy Selman and James Wilder.
Hey, listen, I used to go to the Leroy Selmans in Fort Myers, okay? He's got a nice little chain of sports bars down there.
So, his claim to fame. Well, I mean, it's funny, TC, because the whole, all the speculation ad nauseum leading up to the Brady decision, you know, you'd hear Chargers, you'd hear even Vegas, yeah. you'd hear the Raiders, you'd hear all these different teams, maybe even the Cowboys or Giants. And every time you'd hear Tampa, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's not going to happen because it's Tampa.
Right. Yeah, I got a friend who's a longtime sports guy down there. Used to work with him at Channel 5 up in Plattsburgh and Burlington years and years and years ago. Rock Riley. And, you know, I mean, but they've got, you know, 8,000 season tickets were sold in the last week. I mean, that's, you know, it's worth it to them. Is it worth it to him? I don't know. I will say everything he has said, everything he's posted and everything I've read from people who have talked to him, he sounds like he's got something to prove, doesn't he? I mean, a motivated Tom Brady could be a scary proposition with some of those weapons he has. That could wind up being a pretty good team. And you know, they're saying he's going to go to OTAs. He's going to go to everything they're going to do if they get to have those things. And we know he wasn't doing that with the Patriots. So I don't think there's any doubt that he wants to prove a certain head coach that that it was him, that it was the quarterback who – ushered in the era of greatness, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
TC, as you're stuck in quarantine, what is something that you don't know how to do currently you'd like to learn how to do?
Over the course of my self-isolation, yeah, I was thinking it'd be a good time to learn Spanish. It'd be a good time to learn Spanish. I could talk to all the Latin players right. And hear what's going on, or better yet, not let them know I understand Spanish. So I can go in the clubhouse and hear what they're all saying about right. me and about each other.
That's a phenomenal idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm probably not going to do it because I'm too lazy and I got all kinds of shows to binge. But it'd be nice to get up off my butt and do something that would actually be a positive. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll learn Spanish.
I'm actually pretty good at Spanish, TC. I can teach you most of the basics.
That'd be good radio. Every Tuesday, you could give me a lesson.
TC, do you play an instrument? Because I figure with your son,
No, I got nothing. My kid's a guitarist, as you know.
Yeah.
And he can. I got nothing. I can't draw. I can't play an instrument.
Stick people.
I need a haircut. I've needed a haircut. I didn't get here. These are the again. Listen. There are much bigger problems in the world right now than whether or not I get a haircut. Okay, I fully understand that, and I'm not suggesting this is the least bit of a concern for anybody except for me. But I didn't get a haircut since before I went to spring training. I figured I could stretch it out and get one when I get back. Well, there's no haircut. There's no place to get a haircut right now, and it probably won't be for weeks or months. So, I mean, you know, me with a ponytail. Is a kind of a scary thought. Me, I'm going to come out with the Eck Air hair. Dennis Eckersley and I are going to have the same hair when we come back on the air. But these are, you know, small problems.
I'm not going to be able to tell the difference between your rock and roll son and you.
Yeah, well, that'll take about 4 years to get to where he's at. That's major league hair. I'm never going to have that. But, you know, it's interesting. I'm cooking a lot, and I didn't used to do a lot of cooking. But I find myself cooking a lot. You know, don't you guys find yourself, you know, I'm cleaning out closets that haven't been cleaned out in like 10 years. You just find things to do because otherwise you're going to go crazy.
Yeah.
TC,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Your other son's birthday was the other day. How do you celebrate?
Yesterday, yeah.
How do you celebrate a quarantine birthday with a college kid who's not old enough to drink?
Yeah, it wasn't easy. We kind of knew. It was funny. We knew that would be the day that things would start to fall apart a little bit around the Karen household. And we were dead on. Because it was the first day back to school as well. So he had to take his online classes. You know, couldn't have friends over. We gave him a cake and some gifts and woohoo. And then he went back downstairs and we went back to the living room. And, we kind of agreed we would let him have a celebration this summer when it's all said and done. We thought about taking a bunch of his friends. I'm going to take a bunch of him and his friends out for like a deep sea fishing charter thing, you know.
So nice.
We'll just have to put check on it. I'm glad it wasn't his 21st because that would be, you know, all the bars are closed on your 21st birthday. That'd be a bummer.
That would be miserable.
That is hell on earth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Good.
So it could always be worse. That's kind of the motto I'm going with these days. I don't know about you guys, but you know, it can always be worse.
I agree with that. He's Tom Karen, our Red Sox and Bruin insider. And thanks to Stacey Adamski, the Adamski Law. TC, stay safe out there. Of course, continue good health, and we will speak to you next week.
Yeah, same to you guys. Everybody up there, I hope everyone's doing well. And, you know, it's getting serious. We joke about it as best we can. And talk about things like sports, and that doesn't matter. You know, the positive cases are starting to really ramp up. I've got a friend who has it. His wife just tested positive, and he said it's hell on earth. He said it's really nasty. So just stay home for a couple of weeks, you know, listen to you guys on the radio, and watch whatever old game we trot out there on Nested, and we'll be okay in a few weeks.
There you go, TC. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Appreciate it, TC.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There he goes, Tom Carey. Brady, I want to ask you something. What was the short season? Was that 81 or something like that?
In 1995, they played 144.
Well, the only reason, I guess all the players got their full 1 year in. I'm just wondering.
This is going to be nasty. And when we talk about things like service time, it's not a real sexy term that people like to talk about on the radio and debate. But, I mean, this is going to be nasty. And Tom Caron's right. Look at the worst case scenario that they don't play baseball this year at all. Well, the Dodgers gave up three prospects for Mookie Betts. And Mookie Betts hasn't played one game for the Dodgers that they don't play at all. So how do you handle that? Do the Dodgers get all of their prospects back and Mookie Betts goes to free agency? Does Mookie Betts get another $27 million for 1 year to play with the Dodgers, but in turn that delays his free agency by a full other year, and now he's hitting it at 29 instead of 28? And, I mean, look, $27 million would be great for Mookie, but if you're a guy who thinks he can make $400 million, do you want to play at $27 million again this year? I don't know.
I don't understand, though, because if Mookie Betts gets hurt and doesn't play one game, he's still going to get a full year of service. This is all in Major League Baseball. It's not his fault that they've got to cancel maybe half the game. So I can't imagine that he would never be a free agent, whether they play one game, 80 games, or 162 games, Brady. I can't imagine that.
Well, think, though, about what think about the owners, too. And then even more so, think about some of the players that would be in line for things like arbitration raises. I mean, so let's look at Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers is slated to get a big bump up in arbitration. But if they don't play any games this year, does Rafael Devers then all of a sudden not get that raise that he would have been entitled to? So you're saying there it would work to Mookie's benefit to hit free agency still. It might hurt Devers in that he's not going to get – if he hits 325 with 38 home runs this year and can't use that to buoy his salary next year, the Red Sox can hold it against him.
I'm sorry, Rich, but wouldn't Mookie Betts be best served to – maybe wait another year when the economy does get better and we're in better times with the virus? Wouldn't he get more money if you put it off a year, or that doesn't make a difference in baseball?
No, it could absolutely make a difference. However, a 29-year-old Mookie Betts in free agency can't go asking for 12 years and $430 million. A 28-year-old Mookie Betts has a better chance at 12 years and $430 million. But so when you start saying he's 29 instead of 28, that's going to impact your perception moving forward.
And he's just at the top of a heap of the financial mess that this could become. I mean, there's hundreds of players that are going to be impacted by this. Virtually every player is going to be impacted by it.
And that's why, Arnie, we've seen, and no one could predict the coronavirus, but people were predicting potential work stoppages in baseball, and they were projecting maybe a strike, something like that. So that's why you saw some of these young players start grabbing these long-term deals, because they said, look, I want to get paid now rather than wait for whatever the next collective bargaining agreement's going to look like, or maybe us not playing at all. It's why you saw some of the White Sox young players do this. Alex Bregman did it a few years ago.
And you talk about this being an issue. I mean, the baseball aspect of it is an issue, but, I mean, Wall Street grabbed back 2,000 points today, so that was a good sign. But who's going to give any human being $400 million if the economy is trashed in a couple of months?
And if people aren't going to games, and you're going to see the difference, there's going to be a lot less people in the games. How is that going to affect them financially? This may come back and hurt the athletes when it comes to these new contracts when they're free agents.
It's absolutely can hurt their free agent chances. I'm very interested to talk with Buster tomorrow to see kind of what he knows on the front lines of this, of the understandings of baseball's inner workings, because Arnie, you're right. When these owners have lost millions upon millions of dollars, are they going to want to rush out to give Mookie Betts $350 million, $400 million? This thing has massive tentacles beyond just our fandom being hurt by not seeing baseball.
Right, and I mean, we're talking L.A. too. California shut down, 40 million people. Oh.
Wow. You brought up L.A. You
that
said
was
L.A.
Really loud. Wow. It sounded like a Christmas bell. But anyway, It almost sounded like you were clinking glasses too. I feel like it's more, you know, where's the girlfriend? We're supposed to have a kiss or something. But anyway, I mean, look at California right now. You think Dodgers are feeling like having 20,000 people maybe in Dodger Stadium is going to be advantageous to handing out $400 million?
Yeah, I see Stephen Southburton violins playing for the poor owners and Mookie Betts of the world. Yeah, I agree with that one. I don't think people are feeling bad that they're not going to get $400 million, Brady.
He might have to settle for $250 million.
Well, look, it's weird, though, Rich, you say that about people going back to games. I have no idea what this summer is going to look like. I mean, even when they tell us that it's safe to go out, are people really going to want to go out? And I wonder, I mean, so let's just say that the CDC says, okay, all of a sudden you can go outside and be around people again. So what, on June 1st you couldn't, but June 2nd you can?
Yeah,
I don't know that all of a sudden are people going to start rushing to concerts, stadiums, et cetera. I don't know.
Right, and what is the number where all of a sudden, okay, you can go out now. Only 3 people died today, so it's free. Go ahead, it's free to go out. I mean, it's a morbid way of looking at it, but what's the number?
And I'm starting to wonder, Arnie, and you know, you're someone who goes to a lot of drive-thrus and things like that. I just wonder, are we going to be at the point now where I'm expecting, even once we're clear of this, every person who ever hands me food is wearing gloves now? Like, am I going to start looking at things differently because of this? I think a lot of people are.
I was thinking like that, but then again, we see after Magic Johnson's announcement, you know, back when he had HIV, did that really change a lot of things, or were people still having unprotected sex and they're like, oh, it's not going to happen to me? That didn't really change a whole heck of a lot. It actually brought us more attention to how Magic could come back and still play basketball. I remember Karl Malone, or maybe it was Karl Malone, didn't want him to play.
Right.
Didn't want to be on the court with him. So, you know, I'm trying to be optimistic, thinking that, you know, people, heck, we see the young kids at spring break. They're like, if I get corona, I get corona. It's not bothering them in the middle of it. So I'm hoping it doesn't bother us when it's done.
Yeah, how frustrating, though, is that to watch those videos of everybody hugging and hanging out on the beach and just, oh, my gosh. They're like, well, we're 19, so none of that's going to affect us.
I'm sorry, but they did. A bunch of those kids did catch it. They went to the University of Tampa, one of those schools out there, guys.
Well, I do think people are going to look at things different. And again, I'm going to start. People are using wipes on door handles, and I'm to the point where it's like, okay, now I think every person who hands me food in the drive-thru, you must be wearing gloves. I can see myself going to that place, and I don't want to, but I can see it going to that place.
I'm
going to
wear gloves where a piece of wet nap comes out of it too, so you could shake somebody's hand and it just comes right out. You just go to the next piece there.
Now that is a good idea.
I think that's a good idea. 802-655-6672. Brady, what's coming up next?
Colin Cowherd thinks the Patriots could be bad on purpose, but it would serve a purpose. What?
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Arnie.
They should just call that the crack aisle.
Rich.
Every day of his adult life, he'd have 3 hot dogs wrapped in cheese and a half a gallon of ice cream and then go to sleep.
Brady.
I had 6 Mountain Dews in the course of that dinner time and then just went right to bed.
It's the huddle.
Don't do it.
On 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, The Game, moving along on a busy Tuesday. Breaking news, well, just about 10 minutes ago, I'm sure a lot of you already know, Governor Phil Scott has issued a stay-at-home order. This was a little bit longer than I thought, until April 15th. April 15th, so that's going to be 3 weeks from tomorrow. The order allows people to leave for groceries or medicine, curbside pickup of goods, meals, beverages, medical care, exercise, care of others, and work. So it's going to be a 3-week quarantine for us people, and then we will be done with this, hopefully, and back to normal, and we will be here for you Monday through Friday every day during all that. So inside, 3 weeks, we can do this. Go shopping tonight, and we will get this done, guys.
Yeah, I'm looking. Well, I'm hoping that this will do it, and then we can get back to life. As inconvenient as this is, and it is inconvenient, and it does stink. I'm just hoping, let's do it. Let's all follow the rules, and then let's come out the other side.
Yes.
But you know, Rich, it's getting real for everybody. Now we are considered essential, so we will be here. We will be on the air. We'll be on the air every day. But Arnie, you got this email too. We were issued cards today.
Like FEMA cards.
Okay. I've never had to use FEMA, sorry.
Okay.
But we were issued cards today to drive around with, and we were instructed, carry these with you at all times in case you are stopped by police asking, what are you doing out? We have cards to prove that we're allowed to be on the road. That is something I've never experienced
before. They're access letters is what they are for media workers. And I think anybody, I mean, media, let's face it, we're sitting here talking about sports. But if we have anything like what we're doing right now, we're passing along the very latest breaking information. So that is our purpose here. We'll talk about sports as sort of a side thing, but it's kind of important that somebody's here to do this. And we'll, as I said, we'll talk about sports, but it's not going to be all sports.
Yeah. Right. And so, I was going to say, in Los Angeles, the guys already have started carrying their FEMA cards, so they're able to go to work. And the rules at Fox Sports is no two people could be at the studio at the same time. They have a studio that's with a sealed door for one host to sit in, like a Colin Cowherd. They also have another studio for the update person. And, of course, the central board area, Brady, you know what I'm talking about, that is closed with glass and another sealed door. So you actually have three different sections. If you have two people on a show, one will be allowed in studio while the other one does it at home, or they'll both do it at home.
I think people are going to have a million questions. For instance, let me just throw this out there. Like Sunday when I went up to South Hero by myself and just ran.
Yeah.
Now, can I do that? Can I continue to drive to South or drive anywhere? Drive down to the bike path and go for a walk or a run? Are the cops going to pull me over for doing that?
I think you can. I think, you know, as long as you stay away, but it says that you can go out for exercise.
Okay, good.
It's just more they don't want a bunch of people gathering on the waterfronts or something like that. You know, use your own discretion, but for the most part, it's, you know, stay at home. No, you know, groups and it's just for 3 more weeks starting from tomorrow. And I know that sounds long, but we could do this. We could pull it off. And I think you can go out for some type. You can still walk the dogs, go to the market and stuff like that. It's just they're really shutting down workplaces other than, like liquor stores and food and places like that.
Yeah, so food is going to, you know, I mean, there's a long list of things that go that are deemed essential. It goes all the way from A until R of the alphabet. So hardware stores, banks, but at altered hours, any place that has food. News media, that's in there, agriculture, manufacturing departments, if you want to get gas, all of those things.
Yes, that's true.
All of those things are allowed. So there's quite a few things, quite a few places, rather, that you can go to.
Steven Heinsberg, he says, I work at UPS. We were issued our essential papers this morning to carry. I would figure the mail, UPS, FedEx. And by the way, if you're affected by this, let us know. Is your place shutting down? Do you have papers? How are you guys getting around? What are you going to do? And again, I know it's important news. Stay calm. Don't be panicky. We will be here with you every day for the next 3 weeks for the most part, except on weekends. And we'll just all get through this together. We'll do the 3 weeks. And it's not like you're quarantined for the whole 3 weeks inside. You could still go out and do some errands out there.
I want to, I'm with you, Rich. I want to get out and exercise.
Yes,
and
that's crucial.
You know, I've always loved, you know, fresh air. I think everybody loves fresh air, but you're going to need fresh air at a time like this because, you know, the idea of us going to a bar, the idea of us going to a restaurant. Arnie, don't think you're going to get out of owing us lunch, by the way.
Right, I know. Jeez, I've never felt better. I hope to buy you guys lunch now when this thing is all said and done. So, by the way, it's going to be effective March 25th.
So tomorrow.
That is tomorrow. At 5 p.m., and they said all businesses and non-for-profit entities, not expressly, you know, not, with the exceptions, must suspend all in-person business operations. So they're not messing around.
Well, Dean and Heinsberg, good point. Arnie, just 3 more weeks. My business has 155 employees who all need to get paid. Do you have any idea what that means?
So, yes, and though
that's,
I do.
There's no denying that. That's going to be a major issue.
And I'm actually, take this to heart. If you are somebody who owns a business, owns a small business, is a worker, Arnie, you know our buddy Jake Kent, right? So Jake is a guy who has co-hosted Sports Saturday a number of times in the last couple of years with Jeff Paul and has done it with myself as well. And we've played basketball with him. He's a Harvard graduate. He may be among the smartest people that I know.
What's he doing here?
He's married, so he is going to join us on Thursday.
I mean, the radio station. What's he doing here?
Oh, well, he needs somewhat of a hobby behind after making trillions or whatever he does and being a Harvard graduate. He's going to join us on Thursday at 4:25. He was messaging me a bunch of things I don't even understand about how to help businesses through this times and things that he can do to help. And he's gonna come on at 4:25 and give us some business strategies on Thursday to try to help people who are in Dean's position, because we're deemed essential. We're going to get paychecks through this thing, but we know that that's not the case for everybody, and certainly are sympathetic to anyone who is affected. I mean, Arnie, yesterday we had on Anna McMahon from Feeding Chittenden, formerly the Chittenden Food Shelf, and they talked about how they may run out of shelfable food by the end of the month.
Right.
And they need monetary donations. So that's certainly one way you can help.
Yeah. Like I said, when we started off the show, my wife took a bunch of, we heard that, and we took a bunch of these soups and perishable foods, non-perishable foods down there. And they were going to go to 50 seniors, and they didn't have any toilet paper. We had to get the 40 roll of toilet paper. Yeah. Look, I think the goods, you know, hopefully we can get it to the food banks and places like that so they can continue to help some of the elderly people and people in need also. The next 3 weeks are going to be tough. Dean, also, I don't know much about it, and I'm sure Jake could answer this much better than I can. What about what the government's going to do for these small businesses and medium-sized businesses? How much are they going to give in relief? How is the government and the state going to help? I've got to assume, and I hate to assume that, but I got to assume there'll be some help on the way, guys.
Yeah, at some point, the Senate has to break this logjam. It's getting kind of ridiculous, and I believe me, I wouldn't even pretend to know what's going on.
Right.
The fact that the two parties are haggling with each other and stopping the flow of coming in at this point is beyond ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, we are not a political show.
No,
I don't know enough about politics. I'm also not a medical professional, so it's why I hesitate to speak on the virus itself and spread and rates and when it's going to be over and all that. But what I know is that, you know, I'm a young guy, 30 years old, and people who are millennials that are with young families at home, people that are my age that are maybe a little younger that are just getting established in their careers and are working part-time, and people that don't make a lot of money, this is a tough time, and we certainly feel for you, and we're going to do our best for 3 hours every day to be a distraction and be some relief and be entertaining and inform you, too. But, everybody stay strong, stay together, and we will get through this on the other side.
And I don't know what happened to the, what was it, $1,200 per person, $500 for kids. Bernie actually wanted to have $2,000 per family until we get done with this virus. So I don't know how that has that been passed, Rich. I don't even know anymore.
They're still haggling about it. Somebody, CNN was reporting that it's getting closer to a resolution, but I don't think a lot of people are really excited to wait around for those checks.
I don't know any politicians. Should I be trying to get politicians on the show to talk about policy now? Is that what you're telling me I should be doing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I bet you the governor would come on and Bernie would come on. I don't know if we all know
get
enough.
Bernie, but if your life depended on it.
I know.
Really,
I don't know why
I said
that. You
just call Bernie's people.
Bernie!
And put him on?
Here's a game for the huddle. Would we have a better chance of getting Tom Brady or Bernie Sanders?
Oh, Bernie Sanders, for sure.
Yeah, I would have to go with Bernie there, but it's closer than you think.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders.
Bernie's a big dude now.
Yeah.
He's not as easy as he used to be.
Can we just get Larry David on and call him Bernie?
Yeah, that
would be infinitely more entertaining.
I love Larry David.
Bernie many times, I can assure you, Larry David would be much more entertaining.
David. I still want to get Larry David on because Arnie thinks that Larry David wrote a Seinfeld episode.
Yes. I would love to ask him that. I don't even know if you know who the hell, but I would love to ask him, you know, about that. Because I've heard about Dan Patrick's show all the time. He is a sports radio guy, guys.
Well, yeah, you said that he used to listen to your show when you were in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So you said that he wrote a Seinfeld episode because he did have a character named Arnie and a character named Beth, and you thought it was about you.
But I think you told me it was Arnie and somebody else or Beth and somebody else.
Originally, there was a Beth who was married to David, and she was in the show. And then a year later, she came back and
just
was remarried to a guy named Arnie.
See, that could prove that actually could make my point that he just changed the name as he heard Beth and Arnie and just said, okay, let's just change it or something like that.
It was Beth and David Luckner.
Yeah.
Do you actually remember the last name?
If, of course. If I was ever on, you know, like one of those game shows to win $1 million and they said phone a friend and the category was Seinfeld, it's going to Brady.
Thank you.
It's going right to
if Brady. I can be good for something, that could be.
Weren't you already on one of those and ended up in Micronesia?
Yeah, with the newlywed game.
Seinfeld,
that trip.
Seinfeld is on the on the CW or on... And it's on one of the CBS,
yeah,
it's, maybe.
Yeah,
it's on
like all day.
No. Oh,
there's one on my cable thing that it just says Seinfeld all the way across the
on
screen.
On TBS, it's on a lot, yeah, at like 9 a.m. or something. But you're, well, I'm at work at 9 a.m., unlike you, who's
no,
home
I'm sleeping.
So.
At 9
Well, I feel bad for Dean and Heinsberg. My heart goes out to him and all his employees. And, I mean, geez, I wish we could help everybody. I want to help everybody. All we could do is keep you informed and entertained here. And do the best we can for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, and the problem, too, is that so many people have to be so careful right now. I'm speaking for myself here, but I've heard from a lot of people, and I know I'm not alone. You got to be so careful with where you're putting your money right now. I'm talking about just spending it on basic human needs. So and that's not good news for the places like, you know, Feeding Chittenden.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right, 802-655-6672. If you want to go ahead and jump on in, let us know how you feel on the Town Fair Tire text line. I know this is a difficult time right now for a lot of people. So we're here for you if you just want to vent, you want to say hello, you're panicky, you have any questions, or you need help, 911, whatever. We're here to help you.
All right, Brady, don't call 911.
No. I didn't mean, I meant like 911, you need help. We're here for you. Don't call 911. We're... Call us, text us.
So we're the we're like the fake 911.
Again, Arnie, we're good people. We'll listen. We're not qualified to act as 911.
I'm not going to go ahead and you know break up like call Arnie. We're getting robbed right now. Call 911 there. That's for sure.
I could just see it now, the 911 call center. We're getting flooded with calls saying something about our radio station announcer.
Arnie said to call you guys. Don't call him. All right, 802-655-6672. The four-minute football fix and last story standing next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Get the latest NFL headlines.
We got to be better on third downs. We got to stay on the field.
A huge emphasis for us to make sure rush, pressure, the whole thing, that we can affect the quarterback.
Got our hands on some balls, so that was good, too.
And it's just making sure fundamentally we're sound in all aspects of the game.
This is your home for the gridiron. 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Moving along on this Tuesday. I know everybody's a little nervous, but we will be fine. Brady, let's get to the four-minute football fix.
Four-minute football fix, Colin Coward with an interesting theory on the New England Patriots and where they could go in 2020.
Miami played hard. They created a culture. They won 5 of the last 9 games in Miami. But they knew, ultimately, remember what Miami did before the season started? Joy remembers this. She lived in Miami a long time. We follow the Dolphins closely. They started moving pieces, moving guys, creating a younger team, knowing, hey, it's my first year, Brian Flores. I got to create a culture. You don't have to win to create a culture. You don't. You don't have to win to create a culture. You go back to Belichick's first year. He was creating a culture, and they were 5-11.
Yeah, I think it's a lot different, though, for the New England Patriots than the Miami Dolphins. That was young, hungry players that had everything to prove. These are older, veteran players. A lot of them have won multiple Super Bowls. They don't want to sit through 4-12 just to, quote, build culture. They want to win or get the hell out.
Can you go to you're the coach now, but can you have a franchise to go to 9 Super Bowls and then say, well, we're going to be 4-12 or 5-11? You can't do that. You got to try to go back to every Super Bowl, no matter who your quarterback is. You can't have success that the Patriots have had and then think you're going to revert to a 5-11 or 4-12 thing. Nobody's going to accept that.
I think what Colin was saying was when it comes to the Patriots, and I've said this all along, I don't think Bill Belichick's going to settle for, he'll hate 8-8, but I can totally see on paper this team going 8-8 next year, if not 7-9. The thing he was saying, though, is he was talking about, look, they're in a position with losing all these players. They're getting compensatory picks for almost everybody they're losing. So he says, stockpile this year, stockpile next year, trade half of them, and move up in the draft to get Lawrence next year.
If you're going to do this, if you're going to be a team that loses, tries hard but loses, you've got to move all the veteran pieces, because all the veteran pieces essentially are the ones that can become disgruntled and won't stand for it. I don't. Julian Edelman's too fiery. Ike Taylor in the early in the show called him football's Conor McGregor. He's not sitting here being a good sport going 5-11 to 33 years old. No. He's not doing it. You want to get rid of him. I mean, maybe Matthew Slater, Devin McCourty, James White, maybe they're such good guys that they could take it and handle it okay. Not everybody can do that, though, and I don't believe Edelman can at all.
Well, that's why I said I don't think Edelman will never play for the New England Patriots again. I think he'll be traded, and I don't know how much you talked about when he hit the like button about playing with Tom Brady, but that would bother me. That's like another guy looking at a girl when you're walking along with your girlfriend or wife. You can't do something like that.
Yeah. Rich doesn't read into social media habits too much, but there's also the social media theory going around now about how the Patriots are just going to tank this year and then go sign Deshaun Watson.
Look, I'm not a big fan of his.
He's a free agent at the end of the year. I'd love Deshaun Watson. Just how much money is that going to cost you?
Why don't you go 8-8 and sign Deshaun Watson? Deshaun Watson isn't going to care what your record was the year before. I mean, he might, but...
He's going to care about the money that you're able to pay.
That's right.
Exactly.
Money, money
by the way, Rich, you mentioned Trevor Lawrence. Did you see that he got in trouble today? Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, your boy has had it.
Yeah. He got in trouble because him and his girlfriend started a website, a GoFundMe page for the people for the coronavirus, and the NCAA said, no, you can't do that. Stop them in his tracks. They said, if you do that, you'll lose your eligibility. So he had to stop. That's sickening. All right, let's get the last story standing.
Wacky or insightful? We've saved the best for last. It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
I love stories like this. Well, I shouldn't say that, but I do love stories like this. Brazilian footballer. His name is Hulk. Have you ever heard of this guy? I've never heard of him.
A little football.
Yeah, I don't. I guess he's really famous.
Hulk?
And guess what? Makes a lot of money. No. But he had a wife for 12 years, and her name was Irene Angelo. And he got divorced. He's a good-looking guy. He got divorced. Now, women are throwing themselves at this guy. I mean, this guy could walk anywhere in the United States, and women would be throwing themselves at him. He decides, who's going to be my new girlfriend and then I'm going to marry? Hey, I got an idea. Maybe marry the niece of my ex-wife. I'll marry her. She was very attractive.
The new Mrs. Hulk.
Yeah, that's what he did. Now, some people said she just needed to get married to stay in the country. But no, she's very attractive.
No.
And they've been dating for a while. And so he said, I'm going to marry her, even though it's my ex-wife's niece. I don't care about that. I'm still going to marry her. That's like divorcing somebody and then marrying her sister or something like that, guys.
I think marrying the sister would be worse.
It would.
I think niece would be...
That's up there.
I think sister would be one, daughter would be two, niece would probably be three.
You don't have to rethink the wedding guest list.
Yeah.
Right.
Is your dog barking in the background?
It just started bark now. It just started to bark right
is
now.
Is that Barksdale?
No, it's Stanley. It's Stanley.
Stanley.
Look, people, we know it's tough out there. We know that we're gonna be quarantined till April 15th. We will be here for you, doing the show Monday through Friday. We will get through this together. I know it's gonna be tough times for all of us. But we will just do the best we can. We have no choice. There is no other option. That's what we do as Americans, Brady.
Yes, sir. So we will be back tomorrow. We are proud to be considered an essential business. And again, we will be on all 5 days, every single weekday from 3 to 6, offering you a little bit of relief, entertainment, being informative about sports. We'll have a lot of fun. Arnie, we're glad you're back. Rich, we'll see you tomorrow. Everybody stay safe. See ya.
See ya.